Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not Kingly.
At Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley and read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the time of your life. 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff work slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
If it comes up, it goes down. Weekdays from 9 to noon, listen to Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the valley issues that matter to you. Plus global topics and news of the day. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOS. WSOS. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-570-WSOM or at WSOM.com.
Oh my goodness. That was my opening and everything is playing at the same time, so I'm so sorry about that. I didn't mean for that all to happen. I know that sounded like a train crash. So Mike, it's really been a rough morning. I'm sorry.
No problem.
But I played a clip on racism, and I'm going to come back to that. I promise. In the next hour, we've got two guests bubble booked. We're going to figure it out. But the congressman from the 6th District, Bill Johnson, is going to be with us, and we're going to let him speak. So I'll get with Frank and see if we can push him down to 10:30. But at 11 o'clock, we're going to talk about that because I have a problem when racism is taught and racism is learned. And I don't care where it comes from, and I have problems with it. So we'll get to there. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so sorry about the train wreck on the phone. It's that kind of morning.
No worries.
It's Wednesday. So tell us a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about the Appleseed Project.
Sure thing. Well, my name is Mike Kinsey, and I'm Ohio's senior instructor for Project Appleseed. And what we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We're the sole activity of the Revolutionary War Veterans Association. And basically our goal is to try and help Americans remember the ideals and the reasons and the how and the why that our country was founded. So how we do that is that all across this great country of ours, we hold two-day clinics, usually held over the weekend, where we teach two things. We teach fundamental rifle marksmanship skills, realistic field positions like the prone position, a seated position, a standing position, how to read wind, all kind of things like that. And probably more importantly, at least to me and to many of our instructors, is during breaks and over lunch, we talk a lot about early American history. And specifically, we only talk about the events that occurred on one day, which was April 19, 1775. And if you might remember your history, that was the day that began with Paul Revere's famous ride and ended with the battles at Concord and Lexington, which kicked off our Revolutionary War.
And so now, when does this take place?
There's a full schedule, and folks can see our schedule and a lot more information at our website, appleseedinfo.org. We hold usually about 45 events throughout Ohio all through the year. We have one coming up in your area in Salem on September 27th and 28th. But there's events all over Ohio, all over western Pennsylvania. They're all over the country, of course.
So this is a national organization?
Yes, ma'am.
So,
Go ahead, Mike. I was just going to say that, you know, a lot of folks, you know, sometimes have a question that they say, you know, if you're really interested in spreading early American history and trying to teach folks a little bit about what might start to be left out in history classes nowadays, well, what's up with the marksmanship? That's a question I get asked a lot. And I always like to mention the reason that we feel that marksmanship is so important was obviously civilian marksmanship, the safe, effective use of rifles was so important to our war for independence. That was one of the main reasons that we even had that chance at being able to govern ourselves and have a chance at liberty. But more important than that, we really feel that a lot of the driving factors that go into being a good marksman, some of the qualities such as persistence and determination and situational awareness, critical thinking, things like these really are a direct reflection of what it takes to be a good citizen in this country. If I were to have somebody go to the polls and pulling that lever when it's voting day, I'd really like them to have those types of qualities instilled in them.
Let me ask this. I'm looking at this, and the country now is so divided. It's just unbelievable what's going on all fronts. And we've got people who, you know, I was talking to someone, and they told me the other day that they don't allow their grandchildren, their parents and their grand, they don't allow their grandchildren to watch Roadrunner and Coyote. You've got people who are so against gun ownership that they're willing to take all the guns, all everything away from everybody. A little bit earlier, Sticks was talking about how they're trying to do a constitutional amendment to amend the First Amendment, so that, you know, you don't have freedom of speech for elections.
And you know, that's really a shame. Another reason why I'm really drawn to the stories that we tell, the history told of April 19th, is that one day is really a true and perfect microcosm of what our country is supposed to be and the ideals we hold dear. We talk a lot about the individuals that had to make very hard choices to act on that day. But if you look at just some of the events, you can see a direct reflection right into our Declaration of Independence and even our Bill of Rights. So if you'll permit me, you know, you mentioned the First Amendment. One of the first things that the British Redcoats did when they marched into the town of Concord is they cut down what was called the Liberty Pole, and they set it on fire. Now, the Liberty Pole back then was a post usually in the center of town, and you can imagine things like Thomas Paine's writings being tacked up there, or town council meetings with orators that had happened in that place. It was basically a freedom of expression. It was a place where they would share ideas, talk about what was to be done. And that was just abhorrent to the Redcoats, and that's the reason why they chopped Liberty Poles down, and it was such a symbol for them to take away that expression from the colonials. If you look at the Second Amendment, one of the stories we tell is of Isaac Davis. Isaac Davis was the captain of the Acton Minutemen, and he was a blacksmith by trade, and he made sure that his men, his militia, and his Minutemen were outfitted with the exact same arms that his Redcoats had, because, of course, back then they were still all British. His Minutemen had the exact same bayonet and the exact same cartridge box, the exact same brown vest musket that his redcoat, his regular army, was outfitted with. And I think, you know, that goes into exactly why the Second Amendment was written. If you look at the Fifth, I'm sorry, not the Fifth Amendment, but if you look at, you know, one that we kind of laugh at a lot nowadays is, you know, troops being quartering in the home. We think, well, that's just ridiculous. That could never happen nowadays. It's, you know, maybe it won't, but that amendment was written not only because it was such a challenge for households to have redcoats housed with them that they had to feed and clean and just having these gruff soldiers around them, but something that's missed a lot is one of the reasons why that was so terrible to the colonists was that they always felt that they were under a constant state of surveillance by their own government. They couldn't have any private conversations or, you know, share any information with their peers and their neighbors and their family if a redcoat was always standing right there listening in.
But let me ask you this. I mean, so you're saying a redcoat. Now listen to what you just said. And earlier in the first segment, I came in here on a rant because I'm having some issues with people coming into people's homes uninvited. And, you know, if I yell help, I want you to call 911. But if I don't yell help, then there's a fine line of when you should come in my home or not. And in today's society, we have people interfering into other people's business uninvited because we disagree with how they live. And,
yeah,
and
exactly
I'm not quite
right.
And I'm having a lot of problem today with that mentality. You know, and I'm speaking about the Ray Rice issue. Because the wife came out and spoke yesterday about how they turned this situation into a nightmare for her. Not because of, because they had already gone through the process. She married him afterward. They've gone through the process. He had already been through the court process. All this has happened, and all of a sudden, we have now people are going back into their bedroom and saying, we're going to destroy everything that you've ever had based upon we think we made a bad decision yesterday. And I'm saying people have the right to live as they choose, even if I disagree with how they live. Don't make me have to condone it. Don't make me have to embrace it. But America is a land of freedom.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, I unfortunately don't know much about that specific situation. I certainly can't and won't speak to that. But you're right that, you know, people barging into people's homes, both in a, you know, very literal sense nowadays when we're supposed to have protections with writs and warrants that need to be sought and signed off by a judge, whether or not that's being upheld to the fullest intent of the law, you know, can be debated, but also in a very figurative sense, you know, people just having thoughts or questions or wanting to learn more and they get shouted down. You know, I'm really amazed at just how this country, like you started off talking about, being so divided and the power of a dichotomy. And when there's only two sides and you're either with side A or you're with side B, and side A is the enemy or side B is the enemy, you can really get trapped into a corner. And I really think what America needs now is critical thinking and understanding of why our country was founded, and then you can decide if you want to continue down that path or not, which I think we should, and just critical thinking, teaching our children, being able to think for ourselves. And if you go to the ballot box and, you know, you don't really like side A and you don't really like side B, well, you know what, there are other options. You can get involved yourself. There's third-party candidates out there. We have our options, and people are forgetting that nowadays.
But even and you said you have your options, but you really don't. And when I say and the reason why I say that, you think that you have an option. We think that we have, but the undereducation of the electorate of America, we don't engage in the process to make it right. People go and vote thinking that they have they've been a part of the process. And that's not the process. That's the result of the process. And until we and educate people, because what you're talking about and having people come down to Salem on the 27th and learning about the history and the backstory, not just what they told you in school. Because sometimes when they tell you things in school, it's really not thorough enough.
You're exactly right. And, you know, one of the quotes is that America gets the government it deserves. And that's exactly right. Those who fought and died in our Revolutionary War and those who fought and died to keep us safe all through our history have put that power and that responsibility in our hands. And if the citizenry isn't going to be educated about what it takes, I'm afraid, you know, it's led us down a dark road for the last, whatever, 100 years, 150 years that we've strayed from our path. There's one quote that I always end my events with, and I think it speaks to this situation and so many others, and it was by John Adams. John Adams, he surveyed the damage that was done on Battle Road that was the result of these battles in Lexington and Concord, and he penned a letter to his wife the following day. And in that letter, he said this. He was speaking to all of us, his children, his grandchildren that would come after him, and he said that if we should ever forget the sacrifice that his generation had made for our freedoms, that they would repent in heaven for having taken half the pains. And I think about that a lot. I think about whether or not, you know, myself, my friends, my neighbors, people I haven't even met somewhere across the country, if they remember the sacrifices that were made. Because those were some dark days and some very hard choices had to be made to pick up your family-owned musket and march out the door to start a revolution into a very dark future, an unknown future. And thanks to their sacrifice and everything that they did and the blood that they spilt, you know, they had two choices. They could either fight, probably to a certain death, or live as slaves to the British crown. Now, thanks to their sacrifice, we have a third choice. We have the power of the voice, the power of the pen, the power of the vote. But not enough of us are active enough to get out there to try to make a difference.
And that's why I said I don't think we have a third choice, because even when you have independence, or when you have the Green Party, and when you have the Tea Party, and you have all these other parties that are, I mean, there's so many addendum parties out there. But because of the lack of structure, the lack of organization, you really couldn't get in the process even if you made it through the race. So if you're an independent person, or you're part of the Green Party, and say you win, or the Tea Party, and say you win a congressional seat, you still have to caucus with one of two.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not saying that's not challenging.
And if you don't caucus with one of two, and then if you caucus with one of two, if you don't go a part of that, then they will marginalize you out. Go ask Alan West.
I'm certainly not saying there's not challenges. I agree with you 100%. What I'm focused on, and the only thing that makes sense to me, the only thing that gives me a little bit of optimism and seeing a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, is reaching out, especially to the youngsters. We see so many youngsters that show up to our Project Appleseed events, and it's great to see them. But, you know, kind of like I said, we get the government we deserve. I think we really have to start at the grassroots, even below the grassroots, and get the education out there. Remind people what it means to be an American. And we're starting at that ground floor with Project Appleseed, and hopefully it's going to yield some fruit years down the road.
Well, Mike, what kind of men were these that stood up against the British? I mean, you know, the modern history books want to portray them all as rich white guys. What were their backgrounds? Where did they come from? What kind of men were they?
Absolutely, there were, and they played a very important role both at home and out on the front lines. But, yeah, we know the names George Washington. We know the names Thomas Jefferson. We don't know the names such as Captain John Parker. We don't know the names Captain Isaac Davis, who I touched on earlier from Acton. It's really amazing to me as I really study these men and get to know them a little better as best as I can, that in one regard, you ask what kind of men were they. They're exactly like us. They were men who woke up, went to their day job, came home, had families to provide for, sat around a kitchen table that was probably about the same size as mine, lived their days day in and day out. So in one regard, they're just like us. But in another regard, the ideals that they held and the passion that they had for self-government, self-regulation, liberty, independence, free markets, the things that they held dear, just amazes me that they felt so strongly about that, that they could gather up a few of their friends with just a little bit of supplies and go march towards the world's best trained and most feared military at the time, their own British government. that amazes me. I try to think of anything that modern Americans today would feel so strongly about that get them to get up and march out the door. I don't know if, you know, maybe the finale of American Idol might be the only thing to get folks that riled up. But, you know, we joke a lot because, in a very serious sense, in 14 hours of the events that occurred on April 19, 1775, it only took 14 hours for over 12,000 armed and well-trained civilians to show up outside of Boston to begin the siege of Boston. Now, you know, they obviously didn't have cell phones. They didn't have internet forums. They didn't have telegraphs, ham radio, none of this stuff. It was an antique phone tree with only consisting of knocks on a door. And in 14 hours, they were able to get 12,000 men marching and running and galloping through the dark to converge on Boston. That's amazing to me what kind of men these were.
Now, we talk a lot on this. This is probably the screwiest radio program you'll ever hear of because
we're a little wacky.
And we're awful diverse here. And we talk about history. Tracy gets upset because we have African American History Month, and it should be all part of the same history. Can you tell us what African Americans took part in that in Lexington Concord?
Absolutely. One little known story, and unfortunately, it should be shouted from the hilltops, is there was a young gentleman. He was African American. He was a former slave, and he stood on Lexington Green when those redcoats, there were about 750 strong of them, marched into Lexington, and they decided, they made the choice, instead of passing by the green and continuing on to Concord, which was their ultimate mission, they decided to instead turn right in the fork in the road and approach Lexington Green, and they approached about 72 of our colonial ancestors. And one of them was a young African-American man who stood there shoulder to shoulder with the folks in his town. And as we know, that was when the shot that was heard around the world was fired and began our Revolutionary War.
But now I have, since you brought this in there, I'm looking at what's going on. You're going to be doing this Appleseed Project down in Salem. And,
yes,
you know, and I see there that, you know, you guys do a lot of stuff. You guys are very, very active. But I don't see, I have a problem when there's lack of inclusion. And I'm not saying it's your fault or your organization's fault. Because when I look at the photos of people that are there, I don't see anyone that looks like me. And,
we need to get some different photos up there because we certainly have had
everyone attends
and learns safety and has a good time. Go ahead.
When I say that, I'm saying that I understand that I need to come down to Salem and I need to be a part of that. And because I need to have history training. Because people down in Salem, there are not a lot of black folks down in Salem down that way. It is not. And actually, because there are not a lot of African Americans down in Salem or in other areas in rural America, if you don't see who I am, and I see who you are, I have a misconceived notion about who people are based upon perception of media. Or based upon what I think people who are in the Appleseed Project are, or what I think
Absolutely.
People are who are part of the Confederate, or people who I think are part of who's doing the Revolutionary War or the Appleseed Project. And because of my miscommunication and my flawed perception, that ignorance breeds prejudice.
And that's a shame. And I think that goes back to, you know, the power of the dichotomy. So many folks in modern America, whether it be, you know, down here at our lowly level or all the way up into the elites of the media and politicians and those that are really running this country, they depend on that dichotomy. They depend on dividing people into as large of groups as possible and pitting them against each other. And that's why I'm so proud to be part of a project like this that, you know, really wants to bring people together. We never talk about modern politics. We never talk about modern issues. You will never hear me say vote for a Democrat or vote for a Republican. That doesn't happen. What we talk about is the ideals and the principles that occurred in the 1770s. And the reason we do that is because no matter who you are, old, young, fat, thin, African-American, Caucasian, it doesn't matter. Everyone, when they finally hear about and use a little bit of critical thinking as to what self-government and liberty can bring to them, and more importantly, their family, those are uniting issues, and that's what we're trying to perpetuate.
So tell us again, tell us a little bit about what's going to happen down in Salem on the 27th, and tell us where to be registered, how do we get in, how much it is.
You can register and get lots more information at our website, www.appleseedinfo.org. Again, the next event closest to your area is September 27th and 28th in Salem, but there are events all over the state, all over western Pennsylvania. We're just now starting to put together our schedule for 2015, so keep an eye on that. Being a nonprofit 501c3 organization, we're able to keep costs as low as possible. All of our instructors, while very, very trained, they are volunteers. We don't get any compensation. So the cost for adults for two very full days of marksmanship training where we shoot about 500 rounds, the cost for that is $60. And the cost for the junior shooters, who we're so happy to see out there, for 2 days is $20. Now, law enforcement and military and elected officials can come for free. So we hope you'll come out and join us for a great weekend. I'd love to see you there.
Tracy just had to step out for a second. This is Styx. And thank you a lot, Mike. I'm sure it'll be a good turnout. I hope it's a good turnout because this is something that's very important. The problem I see out there at Salem is they don't have a lot of sign space. And so he's got only one little area to put it up there. And if people don't know what they're talking about,
sure.
It's hard to know. How do we get the word out more?
Well, inviting me on your show is such a huge help, and I appreciate that so much. I mean, that's our biggest problem. Being a 501c3, we have absolutely zero advertising budget. By far, our biggest advertiser and draw is just word of mouth. People coming to events, liking what they see and talking about it. You know, we're always looking for partners to help us out with ad space and commercials and getting things in print and digital media. So that's our big focus right now.
Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for your time and for your for coming on here. Thank you for – I wish I could actually come down there. I have a conflict that day. I think Styx is going to be on vacation.
Yeah. We're going to have – I mean, that's what I told a gentleman, I can't remember his name, that's actually spearheading it down there at Salem. They have – what, they're having it twice this year? This is the second time they had it at Salem this year, I think.
This is the last one for 2014.
Yeah. And both times I had something already planned. I really want to get there. Actually, I live here. It's just right down the road. But we really need to get the word out because as a matter of fact, the gentleman I spoke to said that he originally took the course for the marksmanship and found out that the history was much more important part.
Wow.
And
so
that's usually what we find. So I'll tell you what, we're going to make both of you sign a rain check, and hopefully you'll be there next year.
All right.
I'm in 2015, I will put it on my calendar so that I will be
close by
and come down, maybe bring some friends with me so that we can actually impact change, not only in the historical part, but in the future.
And I'll loan her a rifle.
Well, thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Nice talking with you, too. And let us know if we could ever do anything else for you. Thanks. Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends, 347-945-5229. I've got Frank Minter's going to come on at 10:30. Congressman Bill Johnson's going to come on about 10:15. And I am going to take a short little break right in between here. I'm having major issues. You guys have no idea how over the top I am blowing up, and I can't do anything about it. Dr. Hill's going to come in at 11 o'clock. But we're going to keep this ball rolling. We'll see you in a moment.
Our Valley Back to Work, recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead our Valley's workforce in the new economy.
Like ETI Technical College, creating quality programs in demand fields with options that save you time and money.
We offer several different programs, law, business, medicine, web design, accounting, some skilled trades. We give the people...
I'm This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600, WSOM.
Against ISIS, the group using terror as a weapon in Iraq and Syria. ABC's Jeff Zeleny says the debate is different from the one last year when the president called for military action against Syria but then backed off.
The threat from ISIS seems much more real than it did a year ago. We see in our own ABC News, Washington Post poll that more than 7 in 10 Americans believe the threat is real. So I think that this is a different moment in the debate. But the opposition that was there a year ago to any campaign in Syria has not gone away. So this is something that the president needs to make his case to the American people why this campaign is necessary.
Secretary of State John Kerry now in Iraq calling for an easing of tensions between different groups, Shiites, Sunnis, and Kurds. City officials in Ferguson, Missouri got an earful from citizens last night during a city council meeting. Officials plan to promote community healing after recent protests over the killing of an unarmed 18-year-old by police. Instead, they were greeted with anger.
It should not take for Mike Brown to die for some change to come.
Most of the local police force in Ferguson is white. Residents are mostly black.
Look around you. We're not going to let you go back to business as usual. It's not going to happen.
Another protest is planned over the shooting of Michael Brown. New report today finds a small but growing number of seniors still have student debt to pay off.
It's been growing significantly in the last 10 years, from about 1% in 2005 to about 4% today.
Charlie Jessick of the Government Accountability Office, student debt for seniors has grown by more than 6 times in less than 2 years. The stock market a little bit lower today after 2 straight days of losses. This is ABC News.
Owning and caring for a home comes with a lot of to-dos. Fix the AC, build the deck, remodel the kitchen. Whatever your home improvement need, Home Advisor can help you find a pro you can trust to get the job done right. Go to home.homeadvisor.com for instant access to top-rated pros in your area, including electricians, handymen, remodelers, whatever type of home pro you need. Home Advisor is absolutely free to use. At Home Advisor, you don't have to search through a long list of pros. With just a few clicks, Home Advisor matches you with pros who provide the exact services you need. You can read customer reviews of the pros, even use the cost guide to find out what hundreds of other home projects cost in your area. And because Home Advisor knows it's important to find a pro you can trust in your home, they conduct background checks on their service professionals. It's just one of the reasons more than 25 million homeowners have used Home Advisor. Go to home.homeadvisor.com to find the right pro for your project. That's home.homeadvisor.com.
Young American adults are far less likely to have a credit card than people over the age of 30.
63% of all millennials, that's those ages 18 to 29, have zero credit cards.
Most people over 30 have at least one. Janine Skoronsky is a credit card analyst with Bankrate.com.
I talked to a bunch of millennials, and my overarching sense was that they're really debt-averse. And this is a generation that grew up or was looking for a job in an economy that wasn't so great. And on top of that, they have massive amounts of student debt that they have to pay off. So they're reluctant to add another bill they've got to pay off at the end of the month.
Many looked for their first job during a tough economy. The governor of Nevada calling the state legislature into special session today. It's going to be asked to consider tax breaks and other incentives to seal a deal for a huge new Tesla battery factory that's involved in making electric cars. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Subway is celebrating all September long. The all-time classic Italian BMT is now a famous $5 footlong. And the tasty, low-fat, sweet onion chicken teriyaki is now the $3 6-inch select. Subway, eat fresh.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. See your local Ford dealer for attractive lease offers on cars, trucks, and SUVs, including Ford Fusion. Get a high-tech, fuel-efficient Fusion today for only $199 a month. Visit DriveOneOhio.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-319-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-319-MYTV.
Right now, the sign-up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercial. Watch local channels, too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-319-MYTV. That's 877-319-MYTV.
Cancel the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-319-MYTV. That's 877-319-MYTV.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
I'm having problems, guys. Tracy's having problems today.
Did you wake up an hour late?
No, I actually woke up like about 4 o'clock. I've been running. I've been moving ever since. And I've been working since I hit the floor.
Hey, you know, wife and I, we started an exercise program.
Very good.
And we tried doing it at night, and it just didn't work.
Okay.
So we started getting up at like 4:30 in the morning, and that's the very first thing we do in the morning.
It
works.
It does. It gives you a great perspective on the day.
It works.
I'm feeling good. I'm working out. But this morning I've been reading. I had a board meeting at the Board of Elections. It's a good day. But
it's
I'm trying to keep myself contained because I am so infuriated with the ignorance, the intolerance, and the lack of compassion for people. It is just unbelievable. And we don't care what we do. Tonight the president is going to be speaking in reference to foreign policy in the Middle East. Congressman Bill Johnson is going to be with us shortly. He's going to be calling in, and so I'm going to ask you guys to hold off. I'm going to Frank Mentor, who's going to be talking about gun what?
Well, it's guns in schools.
We're going to talk about, you know, Second Amendment.
Armed teachers.
In schools.
In schools and things like that.
So we're going to be talking with him this morning, and then Dr. Hill's going to come in. But I'm going to get to this Ferguson, and they're selling sweatshirts for $28, and selling T-shirts and I'm going to get to that. And them doing a video with little kids, teaching them that how racism is just a mess. And then I've got to talk about Terrence Howard, his comments about Ray Rice, about him, and he's saying about black women. It's all coming together, and this is just not good. Hey, Eric, hold on, I'm coming to you. Good morning, Eric. How you doing, honey? I'm really stuck. Eric. You're up. See, they act like, see the little blue stick? See, look, see the little, it said
yeah,
blue.
Yeah, I see, little blue thing, and a little question mark,
yes.
Doodad. He's up.
Hey, Tracy.
Terrence Howard. Yeah, Eric.
I have my phone with you. Sorry about that. How y'all doing?
I'm good. I'm trying to woosaw. I'm having a hard time. I got Covina Man, he in the chat room. He need to go on his meds.
I mean, somebody on the break, there was somebody there talking about Ferguson, and a woman was protesting at a protest saying something about it's not going to be business as usual. But I'm thinking, unless you're standing in front of the time clock and those cops aren't punching in and punching out every day, it is business as usual. And I'm sure you got paid to speak, so people getting paid are the people protesting.
Listen, you got this woman. You got, and they had a council meeting, and they moved it to a church in the black community. And you've got all these elected leaders up there that looks like a sea of snow. And you got two or three specks of pepper in the sea of snow. But you have, I think they said the population is like 70% African American. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, I mean, it already is business as usual.
Right, and so if you're not engaged in the process, and then did you hear the little song that I played before I went to break earlier about
the little kids?
The little kids singing the song. Did you hear it, Eric?
Yeah.
That's our kids. They put that, our children. Those are our babies. And so we have them singing a song about racism. And instead of letting them know that no matter what the color of your skin is, it should never hold you back. Because your little song is not going to change the mindset of a person who is racist and or a systemic system. The only thing that's going to change that is what's in your mind, what's in your head, and how you can press forward. Because, again, I keep on saying this, you don't have to like me or the color of my skin. But I respect myself well enough that you have to respect me. I bought a car.
Yeah.
He said there was a DVD player in the back. And so yesterday I was talking to some friends of mine, and it says there was a DVD player in the back. And I said, well, I must have a DVD player. So we tried to put a DVD in. And it's a DVD navigation system, which is not a DVD player.
What's a DVD navigation system?
It tells me it's an old-fashioned GPS system. And so I'm going crazy on this. And so I called up and said, but when I lifted it up, I found I don't have it. My spare is gone. Now, he showed me I had a brand-new spare in the back when I bought the car. But who, when you deliver the car, who actually goes back through and checks the car out and makes sure you got a spare tire? So I call him and let him know I have a spare. Where's my spare tire? Well, I got to get back with you. See, I got a problem. And today would be a bad day for anyone for me to have a problem. Congressman Johnson, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Tracy. How are you doing? Good to talk to you today.
I'm doing absolutely marvelous. It's good to have you with us. Are you back in Washington this morning?
We are in Washington, D.C. today. We come back to Ohio tomorrow.
You are a traveling public
maniac.
What is going on in Washington, since I'm asking a question that I already know the answer to? What are you doing in Washington today?
Well, you know, we're sitting here, Tracy, anxiously awaiting to hear from the president tonight on his speech regarding his strategy on handling this terrorist group, ISIS, in the Middle East. And I'm looking forward to hearing what the president has to say, and I'm really hoping that he lays it out very clearly for the American people. I will tell you, I do not want him to tell ISIS what his plan or his strategy is. What I think he ought to lay out to the American people is what his mission is and what the American military mission is going to be. And that mission needs to be to stop this group in its tracks, and he needs to engage with our military leaders to determine the best way to do that and then work with Congress to provision them to take that action. This is the time for the president to show some leadership. The opportunity is there, and I really hope that that's what he stands up and does.
When you say that, right now I think the whole country is waiting to hear the same thing.
Yeah,
I think
300 million that are sitting here waiting. Yep.
Because I am looking at this, and I look at this as a crisis for America.
Well, I agree that, you know, there are it's hard to agree with much, Tracy, as you might imagine, with the job-killing policies of this administration, the way that the lack of leadership has diminished our position on the world stage, putting America on the sidelines, and certainly letting situations like ISIS and the Russians advancing on Ukraine get out of control. But this is an opportunity now for the president to show some leadership. And I agree with Secretary Hagel when he said that this is a threat to the civilized world, I believe that to be very true, at least not on television. You know, we know that war under any circumstances is a humane, a non-humane endeavor, that atrocities are committed that just do not take place in the normal course of normal life. War is a deadly and destructive thing that human beings conduct. But I can tell you, we've never, at least in my lifetime, seen this level of evil and diabolic behavior as coming from this ISIS group. And I believe they've got to be stopped, and I believe they've got to be stopped now. And the international community, led by America, has an opportunity to put terrorism off the map.
You're a part of the Republican caucus there in D.C., in the congressional office, in the congressional house. Tell me, are Republicans prepared to act if they hear what's necessary?
Absolutely, Tracy. And I believe that, you know, just like almost three-quarters of the American people have expressed their support of taking firm and decisive action against ISIS in the Middle East, I believe that, by and large, both chambers of the Congress are sitting poised and ready to support the president in a strategy, in a plan that is executable, that is clearly defined, that lays out America's entry and exit, what the end state looks like, and how we're going to decisively defeat this formidable adversary. Again, I don't want the president to come out on television and tell ISIS what his plans are. Part of the element of part of the victory in in the art of war is the element of surprise, and we do not need ISIS to know what we're going to do, it when we're going to do it, and how we're going to do it. And so I do not want the president to lay it out that way. I want him to lay out his mission and rally the American people around the idea that we're going to go after this threat and we're going to take whatever action is necessary to protect America's national interests and protect our friends and allies abroad.
Congressman Johnson, tell me, please, why is it that America is concerned about this situation? Because there are a lot of people who feel as though we are actually getting into someone else's business, and we ought to just let them do what they want to do over there.
Well, I wish it were that easy. I mean, if I thought for a second that it was none of our business, I would not be crying out and advocating for action now. But here's the truth of the matter. This group is self-funded, Tracy. They are not just a run-of-the-mill, as the president once called them, a junior varsity terrorist group. They are well-provisioned. They are self-funded because they have captured major oil fields in the northern part of Iraq. So they're selling oil on the black market, bringing in millions of dollars a day. And here's the big one. They have Western passports. Some of these people, and we already know that some of the people that have been killed fighting with ISIS are American citizens, have come from America. And so they've got Western passports. For us to think that these people are not going to come here because their purpose is to kill Americans. Now, they're perpetrating their evil on the people of that region, but that's only so that they can collect the resources necessary to launch attacks on Americans. That's what their goal is. And they don't have to sneak across our border to do it, Tracy. They can buy a plane ticket and land in New York or L.A. or Chicago or Cleveland. This is a real threat to America's national security, and we have an obligation and a responsibility to act.
Mike, because I say the same thing, and I don't think we understand how they hate the great Satan, and they want to annihilate it. They want to dominate it, overtake it, and they want to pull the great Satan down, and that's what they call America.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think this is the time for America to unite.
That's exactly right. And, you know, when you look back at our history, Tracy, when you look back at America's history, there are a lot more examples of America picking itself up by our bootstraps, overcoming seemingly insurmountable odds to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. America has a history of coming together when we are threatened. We did it in the Revolutionary War. We did it in the War of 1812. We did it in the Civil War. We did it in the World War I and World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and we continue to do it today. We can handle this problem, and I'll go even one step further to say this is a problem that America must lead on, because the rest of the world, our friends and allies in the Middle East and our friends and allies in Europe, they have demonstrated throughout human history they are not capable of handling this alone. America must take a leadership role in this. We're the key to stopping this ISIS group, and ISIS needs to wake up tomorrow morning very, very afraid. And that's what I hope we hear tonight.
And I've got one more question before I go to your district, because I want to talk to you about the district in a moment. Why is America so important? Because, you know, there are a lot of people that don't understand why America is looked at as the leader.
Well, you know, that's a good question. And I think, Tracy, I believe that America is the exception. I believe the principles upon which America was founded, the idea that you can pursue your dreams and ambitions on your own terms, that creates a mindset of innovation, of moral balance, of exceptionalism that doesn't exist in any other country on the planet. I don't have time to tell you this whole story, Tracy, but I will the next time I see you. I stood in wide-eyed amazement and awe as I watched a surgeon at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus on Monday the 18th of August take a 10-day-old baby's heart apart. I was standing a coffee cup distance away observing this surgeon, this master craftsman at work, and he took that baby's heart apart and put it back together again because otherwise the baby was going to die. And I saw that surgeon give life where life was not possible. That is a gift that comes from our Creator, and it's based, and it comes to us because we are allowed to pursue our dreams and ambitions and develop skills. I told that surgeon when I left, I said, "You are an amazing man that God has gifted greatly. Don't ever stop doing what you're doing." That baby went home 5 days later with a brand new heart, Tracy. That's what happens in America. That's what makes America great. And I hope if I can do anything as the 6th District Representative to the United States House is to help people understand that America is great because we were created to be great. And we are sustained to be great. We just have to stand up and believe that America is the exception. And I believe that we are.
I believe that we are also. 6th District, you cover Canfield South. You cover right along the Ohio River. What are the concerns in that area, and how are you going to address them as we go into this election cycle?
Well, you know, the district runs from about an hour outside of Cleveland, like you said, which is Canfield South there in Mahoning County, all the way down the Ohio River to just outside of Cleveland, about an hour outside of, just outside of Cincinnati. It's a quarter of the state geographically. We go from the river as far west as Zanesville. So it's one-fourth of the state. The concerns along the Ohio River are the same concerns that have been there since January of 2009. An ever-declining economy, the lack of jobs, the lack of opportunity, and believe it or not, Tracy, still very, very many concerns about Obamacare, the lack of access to physicians, the cuts to Medicare that the president made in the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare. Those are the concerns that that our constituents have. And, Tracy, I am working extremely hard to put politics aside, to create bipartisan solutions. You know, I work with Congressman Tim Ryan to form the LNG Working Group, to force the administration to make quicker decisions about exporting liquid natural gas and how that is such a job-creating benefit, not only to our region and our state, but to the nation. I'm working hard. I've got a bill out there right now called the Seniors Fairness Act that would eliminate a subsidy in Obamacare and restore the cuts that the president made to the Medicare Advantage program. And I'm getting bipartisan support on this. I've got, Tracy, it's very unusual to have even a bill pass the House of Representatives in this partisan gridlocked environment, but I've had five bipartisan pieces of legislation actually signed into law by this Democratic president since I came into office in January of 2011. I'm willing to work on common sense solutions with whoever is willing to come to the table. And thank God that I've had some Democratic colleagues that see the same thing. So I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to continue that work. Stopping the president's war on coal, that's a big one in this district. But jobs in the economy, Obamacare, stopping the war on coal, putting in policies that's going to ease the squeeze on the American people. You know, the American people are being squeezed at the gas pumps. They're being squeezed at the grocery store. They're being squeezed in the cost of their health care. And pretty soon they're going to be squeezed on the price of their energy if they haven't already seen it. Because between now and next May, another 60 gigawatts of power is going to come off of the utility grid as these coal-fired power plants are shut down because of the onerous EPA. I'm working hard to try and stop that because we were one coal-fired power plant away, Tracy, from having rolling brownouts and blackouts, loss of power. I've already got manufacturing companies being asked to idle their plants in our district because there's not enough energy on the grid to meet the peak demand. And yet the EPA, under Obama, President Obama's direction, continues to try and shut down these coal-fired power plants. I'm fighting against that every day. Those are the big issues that we're talking about as I travel this vast district.
So what power does the Congress have to rein in the EPA, Congressman Johnson?
What powers does Congress have to rein them in?
Right, right.
Well, the power rests with the legislative branch, but here's the key to that, Tracy. It requires both chambers of Congress to work together. And as you know, the House of Representatives and the Senate, they're two different chambers, and they work on two different sets of rules. And I can tell you that we've had over 370 pieces of legislation that we've sent to the Senate that would address many of the issues that I just described to you that sit idle in the Senate. And the Senate will not even take the dust off of the cover to consider those pieces of legislation. We've had upwards of 40 to 50 job-creating bills, everything from approving the Keystone XL pipeline and reining in the overregulation of the EPA. We've had bills like that go to the Senate, and they sit there because Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader, will not allow those bills to come up. So the power rests within the Congress, absolutely, under the Constitution. That is true. But the only way that it works is for both chambers to function, and right now the Senate is absent at the helm. They're not functioning.
At all. So it's important that we get it together and get it right. Congressman Johnson, I'm at the end. Do you have a little bit more time? There are a couple of people that want to ask you a question on the phone. Do you mind?
Tracy, I hate to run, but I do have to go because I've got a hearing that I've got to get to. But it's been great to be with you today. I'll come on again sometime soon.
We'd love to have you on again anytime. Thank you so much.
Okay. God bless you and have a great day.
God bless you too and have a good day. 770, your mic is on. The congressman's not there, but I'll take yours. Oh, see, you left too. Well, I'm going to take my break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Think about what the congressman said when I come back. Friend Mentor is going to be on with me, and then at the top of the hour we'll go into and watch me just rant and rave for a few minutes, and then I'll let everyone talk. We'll be right back.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Michael Savage. I used to like the title Steppenwolf by Hermann Hesse, once a very popular book. It always signified to me all of the different stages of all of our lives. And if you've been around a while and you've had many different lives or incarnations, you're very lucky to see the world as it really is as opposed to through rose-colored glasses, as it isn't.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
Keegan with your headline news. A man who took part in a heroin distribution ring in Youngstown will go to prison for 5 years. A federal judge sentenced Michael Flores Maldonado yesterday. He pleaded guilty earlier this year. He says he became part of the ring to help support his family. A federal grand jury has indicted three men for allegedly using fake credit cards at the Elm Road Walmart in Bazetta Township. It happened last month. Investigators say the men made several trips to the store, and they were caught with more than 100 credit cards encoded with fraudulently obtained numbers. And a Youngstown woman was arrested after breaking into an apartment and fighting with a resident. And it all started with a Facebook message. 22-year-old Lakeisha Cotton was challenged to a fight by another woman on Facebook. She accepted the challenge. She showed up with her husband. He was arrested for breaking into the apartment as well. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm in the city with Styx, and it's 36 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Frank Minter is on with us, and he's going to be talking with about guns and arming teachers. And I put in my description, I just put it on Facebook, is do you agree or disagree with that? So I'm going to ask him about what the cause is, how this happened, what the initiative is, what's going on with it, and where we can learn more information on it. Hey, Frank, thank you so much. I appreciate your patience with me.
Oh, good to be here.
Tell us what this project is all about.
Well, I wrote The Future of the Gun because I thought it was time we came to real answers in this country, what's really going on with guns in America. You know, there's so much media bias, unfortunately, with the issue, but really there's also just a lot of ignorance and misinformation that comes from that ignorance from the media. So we're often not coming to the right solution. So I spent a lot of time with interesting people to bring this together. I actually hung out with gang members in the city to find out where they get guns and how they really look at gun control. I spent a lot of time with officers, with ATF officers and sheriff's departments and others, to find out how we can stop the bad guys from getting guns. And I spent time at firearms manufacturers to see what the future of gun technology is. And, yes, I talked to school teachers and a lot more to find out how we can stop violence. And it really led to me to a lot of interesting answers that I think nationally would really help in this debate.
So what was the consensus of, because when you mention guns and schools and teachers and being armed and that kind of, you get all kinds of mixed reactions. And a lot of people are, they want everybody to take all the guns and put them in the ocean, burn them down, and build a monument to no guns, especially
right.
when it comes to children. What kind of consensus did you get when you were out there? Because I don't think bad people turn in their guns.
No, they don't. And, you know, there's, 100 million gun owners in this country and 300 million guns. There's just really no way to completely disarm society. And even if you did that, you'd just be enabling the stronger individual to take advantage of a weaker individual. You know, gun rights are really women's rights and old person's rights and so on, as much as anything else. But, yeah, when I talk to school teachers and so on about it, you know, I never argue that a teacher has to be armed. You know, they're not police officers. That's not what they are. But there are certain teachers who have a military background or even a law enforcement background or have just a real affinity with firearms and shooting competitions and just understand guns and know guns and feel comfortable with them and already have concealed carry permits and have gone through that whole process, those people are safe. You look at it statistically, the person with a concealed carry permit actually commits less crimes than police officers do. They're basically good, safe citizens who have already been vetted, and there are other ways to vet them even more if that's what a school board or a local school district wants to do, and that's great, you know, go through that process. But to tell them they can't be armed and can't be there to defend our children, I think that also takes away something really critical and important. I mean, you look at what happened in Newtown. Heroically, the principal and teachers there threw themselves at Adam Lanza trying to stop him, and if just one of them had a firearm, they could have stopped him right there because he had to actually shoot his way into that school.
And when I say that, and when I look at, because I have a friend, and he had a firearm, and it was in his car, and somehow I have no idea how it got out, but it got out somehow, and he's been suspended from teaching. And it's a felony to have a firearm within a certain parameter unless you're an law enforcement officer in Ohio of a school. But if something goes on, there's no one there except for one officer, because usually school districts don't have a whole lot of money, so you only have one officer no matter how big or how small the school is.
Yeah, the gun-free zone idea is a fantasy. I mean, it sounds very nice, and it would be nice, right? No guns in that area. But all the bad guy do has to break the law, and that's what they do. That's, you know, so they walk into there, and suddenly they have a victim zone because it's a gun-free zone. They're the only one who is armed. When you look at, you go through these horrible mass murders have gone into society, you find out whenever they've been confronted by either an armed citizen with a gun or a police officer with a gun, it's always stopped. You know, often the person kills himself because they really, you look at them psychologically, and you know, I went to this with mental health workers, and you find out that they're actually just very wimpy people. I mean, they're using this aggression in a very strange way to deal with their own internal issues. So they don't tend to get into gunfights with the bad guy with the good guys who show up. They tend to kill themselves, or it stops one way or another. Good guys with a gun do solve those problems, but I do argue that you don't want to arm just everybody can have a gun. I think there is a process we go through to make sure that this is a safe situation.
Now Frank, you talked in one of your articles I read about this biometric gun safe for in a classroom. Can you tell us what you found out about that?
Yeah, that's the IntelliGun, which is made by Kodiak Arms. It's a smart gun. There's a biometric scanner on the grip of a model 1911 pistol. It's actually a conversion kit for a 1911, which is a semi-automatic pistol. It was invented in the early 20th century. It was actually the standard issue firearm for the U.S. military from 1911 until the mid-1980s. It's a good system. Actually, when you pick it up, the biometric scanner, if you've registered yourself with this gun, unlocks the gun within 1 second. So right away, you can use that firearm. And some schools have actually put those into classrooms, and they've done that by putting them into a gun safe that doesn't look like a gun safe, that has a biometric scanner on it. So when someone who's authorized touches that scanner, the box opens up, and inside is this IntelliGun that has a biometric scanner on its grip. So then if that person is authorized, they can pick up that gun. That way they can potentially respond to someone, a killer who's come into the school within seconds instead of the minutes it might take a police officer to get there. So I like the whole idea, and I think that's pretty cool, and that's a good use of that technology. The problem with the smart gun technology, unfortunately, is that the anti-gun side wants to make it mandatory, and it's just a new technology. You can't fit to all the firearms today. So what that really means is by making it mandatory, that's a massive gun ban. By telling people they have to have this particular kind of gun. So that's the whole issue with it. That's why gun owners are really opposed to it. They're not opposed to it being developed. They're opposed to it being made mandatory. And fortunately, as I visited firearms manufacturers, I was told over and over again by them that they're not investing in that technology to improve that technology because of these government threats to make it mandatory.
I see. Well, why would they want, I mean, what would be the possible reason to make it mandatory?
Well, it's a massive gun ban, and then it's also a way to really control. I mean, gun control isn't about guns as much as it is about control. And when you talk to the anti-gun folks about it, they see it as a way to get the government possibly to decide who's authorized and not authorized. There's no real functional way to do it because it's a new technology. It's a battery-powered technology. Most gun owners, they have a device already that's designed to save their life, and they don't want to put the uncertainty of a battery into that device. So they're already reluctant from the beginning. But also, there's no way to retrofit that to all the makes and models and firearms that are on the market today. It just is impossible. The only way to let this thing become what it really should become, because there are great niches that a smart gun could fill in, is to keep the government out of the way. But unfortunately, that's not what's happening.
And that is a problem. I don't understand. Maybe you can help me with this. When you have, I was raised with family members who had firearms. When I was in school, they had a rifle club. It was no big deal to teach young men and young women how to use a firearm. Usually it was young men. You know, young women, I came in a part of, you know, we were domestic. So when did we go to, you can learn how to take firearms. You can young men had rifle racks in the back of their trucks. To where we are now, where everyone is afraid of a firearm.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question because the pendulum is actually swinging back. Schools used to have, very commonly, had rifle clubs, and they were really ended in the 60s and 70s and into the 80s until they were pretty much gone. But now you see more schools bringing them back. And in fact, the Boy Scouts has spent a lot of money into its gun training program again. They have 22 Rangers and so on, and they teach that responsibility that comes with shooting a firearm. So it's growing and it's coming back, and now there are actually more gun owners and shooters in the United States than there really ever has been. There's about 100 million of them, and that's a figure hard to nail down, but that's what the ATF says, and that's what a lot of the NRA says, and also a lot of studies say. It's growing, and you know, I've been writing this book. I visited certain gun clubs that actually have women's night, you know, ladies' night for at the range, they often call it, and it's women who show up and shoot and learn that individual right and how to protect themselves, and you know, without having to have a man around or whatever, you know, they can be safe living alone and so on, and it's a wonderful thing. So it's growing. I think that, but you're right. The mainstream consensus is that this is the bad thing, but really, you look at America and we've become much more of an armed nation. And it's interesting, as gun ownership has gone up and the number of guns in America has gone up over the last half century, the murder rate, especially since the early 1970s, has been falling and falling. Even the number of police officers shot is about one-third of what it was in the early 1970s. So we've become a much safer nation as become an armed nation, but that isn't popularly known.
What's been happening in states that have shall-issue concealed carry? What's been happening to their violent crime rates?
They go down empirically over and over. When you look at the studies, when people are allowed to use that right, it always happens with murder rate falls and a society becomes safer. And I go into that deeply in the book through different studies to show that happening. And it's interesting, since the mid-1980s, we became a shall-issue country where the local official officiating giving those concealed carry permits has to give it to you unless you have a legal reason where you can't have a firearm, a felony conviction or so on. Some that are not shallow issue areas, the local official can just willy-nilly decide whether you should have a gun or not. The shallow issue thing is a constitutional-backed argument that has spread across the country. It used to just be a couple of states. Now it's well over half the country has shallow issue laws. And the number of people with concealed carry permits, I mean, in the 1980s, about 1 million of them, about 1985, and today it's over 10 million people have those concealed carry permits to carry firearms. So it's actually growing.
Frank, I need you to do me a favor because no one told me about a book. So will you please help me out? Tell me the name of the book. Tell me what the book is about and where we can get the book, and if you have a website.
Sure. The book is The Future of the Gun. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, really wherever books are sold. And the book, it goes through, I started with a historian at the NRA's National Firearms Museum because there's so much, the link to freedom, the link between the private ownership and private companies making firearms and the military is really misunderstood today, and it's interesting. You can't really understand the freedom in America, and I don't think you can really understand America until you get that part of it. And then I take through the politics and through the current debates and then the solutions to the gun violence that are real and actual, but going through the studies and talking to the experts. And then, of course, I go into the gun technology and where guns are going. And there's so much investment now being put into adding electronics to firearms that, you know, it becomes very sci-fi very fast. But it's surprising how far guns are going right now. And if you look at it, I think within 10, 15 years, we're really not going to recognize the guns of today, especially on the cutting-edge firearms that will be mainstream.
Really?
Absolutely. They're now taking digital optical systems and marrying that to a trigger system. And when you do that, your scope is actually an active. You could actually tag a target, and that scope will follow that target, that specific point mm-hmm. where you want to hit on that target. So once you start to do that, that optic then can do lots of things. It can look for certain shapes. It can hit targets in certain places. In the military sphere, it could actually pick out the silhouettes at a distance of enemy combatants and automatically align the bullet drop and windage and all the things for those targets, making our military much more efficient than it is today. And on the civilian side, long-range shooters are into it, competition people are into it. It's also making guns safer because, okay, they can recognize you, but the ergonomics is getting better, the feel of them is getting better, they're fitting more people, they're just easier to shoot and better to shoot, which is also why accidental discharges, deaths, are also way down in this country. As guns have gotten better, they've also gotten safer.
Wow. That's amazing.
Oh, there's so much going on, and so much just isn't really popular. And that's what really led me to writing The Future of the Gun. Yeah, it's a big story.
Wow, I had no idea. That ought to be, that's pretty cool.
Oh, it's interesting. And, you know, I don't think you can really get America without this. It's, you know, and I learned a lot. I mean, just hanging out with gang members in inner cities and asking them where they get their guns and what they really think about gun control and having them tell me that it doesn't work. And
what did they tell you? What did they say to you? Because, you know, that was smart, because most people don't ask them.
Well, they go to the gun store and buy machine guns.
No.
No, machine guns are almost, they're illegal. They've been illegal since 1934. They're almost never used in crimes. Most pistols, 74% of murders are done with pistols. Rifles are used in less than 3% of murders. So the AR-15 and what's called the assault weapon really isn't being used by those guys. It's too big and unwieldy for them. They're mostly using handguns, and they're getting them illegally by stealing them. There are 190,000 guns stolen every year in the country. That's according to the ATF. And they get them by having someone going buy a gun for them. Someone who can pass a background check goes to a gun store and buys it for the bad guy. And unfortunately, we're not prosecuting those what we call straw purchasers very often. In fact, almost never. Statistically, it's shocking when you look at it. It's actually that person who goes and buys a gun illegally, I mean, buys a gun legally for a felon, which is a crime, they have a higher chance of being struck by lightning than being prosecuted.
So what, I mean, why aren't we prosecuting both those folks and the folks that operate illegal gun dealerships at gun shows?
Yeah, well, I don't know of very many illegal sales at gun shows. That's actually a rare way for a criminal to get firearms. But we're not often prosecuting these guys because it's not a politically correct thing to do. Often the worst murder rates are in places like Chicago, where if you went in and very aggressively, which you should do in my opinion, went after the bad guys instead of demonizing the guns the way the politicians there like to do, then you actually will be arresting more of people of a certain race instead of people of another race. And that, to them, to their certain point of view, is considered to be a racist thing to do. So the politics aren't there. I mean, the Attorney General has been asked about this on Capitol Hill in congressional testimony, and he said he didn't have the resources and so on. But the real reason is the politics just isn't right.
It's amazing how we shape our urgency based upon our politics instead of based upon just doing the right thing, you know?
Right.
It's not hard.
Right.
I thank you so much for you coming on and putting up with me in the last couple of weeks. But this is a very, very good topic, because I don't think people understand how firearms, how it's changing, how it has changed, how important it is to be a part of the fabric of America that will keep us safe, whether it be in the school or in the home.
Now, that's important. If people don't know this, you can't come to real answers to solve the problems that are still there.
Yeah, you need to teach it. You need to teach firearm safety. And again, I was talking to someone last night, and we talked about being responsible, a responsible person, not a responsible gun owner, but a responsible person who understands for every action there's a reaction, no matter what it is.
Absolutely. Well put. That's why it's a shame that, unfortunately, so many of our politicians, the federal government, doesn't work with the gun rights groups and the gun owners. They see them, unfortunately, especially the current administration, as enemies, not as someone who could actually help police this and make this a safer country. So they're treated adversarially instead of as someone who could come in and solve these problems, when a lot of these things can be worked with together on.
You're right. Do you have a few minutes so I can take some calls if anyone has any questions for you?
Oh, sure.
Eric, your mic is up. Do you have any questions for our guest? Pianki, your mic is on. If you have any questions for our guest.
Well, I like the idea of gun ranges in school. I think that should be left up to the community, though, whether teachers are allowed to carry guns. That's just my opinion, and I think that opinion is shared by different municipalities around the country.
Absolutely. It should be up to the teachers.
I think it should be done on the local level and the school board level.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Absolutely. Hopefully they'll get the real information as they do it. But, right, it should be up to local school boards to do.
Because that takes the pulse of the community. I mean, that's where you would go.
Right.
And not from Washington. It's too far away. I mean, if you know that you live in a violent neighborhood, and even if you look at what's happened in Sandy Hook, that was a very suburban area.
It's a very safe area.
You would have never thought Chardon.
That's where these mass shootings seem to be occurring is in upper middle class white schools.
That's because they won't let them watch Tom and Jerry anymore. They said it was too violent.
Well, in that particular case, Adam Lanza, I mean, his mother really had no idea what she was doing. She let him keep guns in his room, you know, the same room where he had garbage bags over the windows and lists of all the serial killers that have taken place over the last few decades. You know, her eyes were not open.
I agree.
And not only that, it's my understanding that Adam Lanza was addicted to violent video games.
But even with the addiction, that goes from lack of parenting, because you have to pay attention to everything that your child ingests, no matter what.
At the end of the day, guns don't kill people. People kill people. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah, in this case, with her, ignorance killed, because I don't think she really knew what she was doing. She was a new gun owner. She hadn't been exposed to how you safely store and deal with firearms. I think if she'd have been around someone, an instructor, somebody who could have taught her, he would have looked at that kid and looked at the situation and said, ma'am, here's what you need to do. You need to change what's going on in that household.
Yeah, even if you don't have common sense, my mother wouldn't let me have a gun in my room, even if it was mine. Even as a teenager. We knew that. You know, when you had your Easy Bake Oven.
Even on the farm, the guns were in the gun cabinet.
Yeah, and even if they were on the gun rack, they were in the gun rack in the closet. But they weren't in my room.
When I was 12 years old, I mean, I had guns over my bed when I was 12 years old, and so did all my friends, and we went hunting, and we never caused trouble. The parent really has to look and see what's going on around them.
Who does that? 267, your mic is on.
I'm calling in reference to an urban school district. I think that it would be a problem to give teachers handguns if you're dealing with a very large school district where you have children that have different types of behavioral problems. You're not sure what might occur inside the classroom. I think a better idea is to put an armed guard in each school and to find some type of funding to actually do that.
Most schools have an armed guard. Most schools have a someone in there now.
A resource officer.
Very, 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 very few schools, no matter whether it be urban, suburban, and or rural, are in this country don't have an armed officer somewhere in that building, for every building.
Well, I don't know if that's true across the board because they have to find the funding to actually do that.
They put it in the budget. Just like, you know, instead of having a truant officer, you got a police officer. Hey, listen, I gotta go.
I'm not sure if every school has it because in some school districts they're having problems with funding. But I'm saying that across the board they probably need to do that in every school if you're dealing with a large school district to put an armed guard.
Most schools have them. I know in our state they do, and I'm watching them. I'm watching schools really use their resources to make sure that there's somebody that's armed. But when you look at the classroom and the teacher, that makes sense, especially if you have a military-trained teacher who has.
Well,
I mean, that just makes sense.
Yeah,
in some areas.
It does. I mean, there's no reason you can't send. They're off. The teachers are off, so you send them away for an 8-week training course with the state police in the summertime, and they come back and they're trained.
Well, listen, Frank, I want to thank you for coming on with me and hanging out. You're welcome to come back.
Oh, it's been fantastic. Thanks for having me.
And I'm going to call you because I need a copy of your book. I need to read it.
Yeah, we're going to have to have you back when we got this thing working out right,
yeah,
Frank.
We've got to do that.
I'll make sure
you guys get
a copy.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And listen, I got to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-52 tonight. I'll be right back.
Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all-natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Lately, it seems there's been a lot of back-to-school talk. How about you? Thinking of going to college or back to college? Wondering how you can afford it?
Venus, check out Secrets of Greece, producers of skin and hair care products suitable for all ages. Made from organic olive oil and aloe vera herbs, vitamins, and essential oils. Go to venussecrets.us.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600, WSOM.
Syrian forces in nearby Arab nations.
The top Republican in the U.S. Senate, Mitch McConnell, says the president should not go it alone.
The view of myself and most of my members is the president should be seeking congressional approval, period, for whatever he decides to do.
The president meeting shortly with members of the National Security Council. Flooding in the Southwest has caused a lot of damage to homes in the region.
We lost everything. It's heartbreaking. It really is.
That's Randy Schmitz of St. George, Arizona, who put towels under his front door, but the carpets got soaked with mud. Part of I-15 northwest of Las Vegas is washed away. That's going to cause a lot of traffic jams. The Israeli military says it's opened criminal investigations into two high-profile cases. They involve Palestinian civilian casualties during the summer's Gaza war. That announcement could be an attempt to head off international investigations into the military's conduct. A smartwatch and a new mobile payment system are among the latest products announced by Apple that are getting the most attention. The watch is the first new product category for the company since 2010. This is ABC News.
Owning and caring for a home comes with a lot of to-dos. Fix the AC, build a deck, remodel the kitchen. Whatever your home improvement need, Home Advisor can help you find a pro you can trust to get the job done right. Go to home.homeadvisor.com for instant access to top-rated pros in your area, including electricians, handymen, remodelers, whatever type of home pro you need. Home Advisor is absolutely free to use. At Home Advisor, you don't have to search through a long list of pros. With just a few clicks, Home Advisor matches you with pros who provide the exact services you need. You can read customer reviews of the pros, even use the cost guide to find out what hundreds of other home projects cost in your area. And because Home Advisor knows it's important to find a pro you can trust in your home, they conduct background checks on their service professionals. It's just one of the reasons more than 25 million homeowners have used Home Advisor. Go to home.homeadvisor.com to find the right pro for your project. That's home.homeadvisor.com.
Authorities in Alabama say they plan to charge a South Carolina man in the deaths of his five children. They say Timothy Jones led police to a secluded clearing where the bodies of the children were found. More pilots who were killed in crashes have tested positive for drugs. ABC's Scott Goldberg says that finding comes from government safety regulators.
The NTSB says toxicology reports show 39% of pilots killed in crashes in 2012 had at least one drug in their system, up from just 9.6% in 1990. The most common drug was an antihistamine found in many cold medicines that can cause drowsiness. Only 3.8% of pilots tested positive for an illegal drug, mostly marijuana. But this study also says drug impairment was listed as a cause or contributing factor in just 3% of crashes, and the vast majority of pilots testing positive flew private, not commercial planes.
Scott Goldberg. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Venus, Secrets of Greece, producers of skin and hair care products suitable for all ages. Made from organic olive oil and aloe vera herbs, vitamins, and essential oils. Go to venussecrets.us.
Steel, German engineering, American manufacturing, servicing dealers, and people across America who refuse to compromise. Steel blowers start at just $149.95. Plus, buy select steel chainsaws like the MS-271 for $399.95 with 16-inch bar and get a free carrying case of $49.95 value. Visit steeldealers.com. All prices ESSRP. Offer valid through December 31st, 2014 while supplies last. See participating dealer for details.
Visit Elder Ag and Turf Equipment Company on State Route 14 in East Palestine. 330-426-2166. Online at elderequipment.com.
You have deep-rooted fear of the unknown. You get squeamish when you hear noises in the night. Cold sweat breaks out on your forehead when you walk past the radio. And you are superstitious about cats crossing your path. Don't even think about All Hallows Eve when ghosts, goblins, and witches come out. Oh, the truth is you love to be scared. And this year we're helping you get scared for half the price with our half-off haunts. On sale September 15th. Visit Sweet Deals on our website for half-off haunt specials like...
It's three haunts in one. Ah! We're going to scare the hell out of you at Hell's Hollow Haunt. Walk through three levels of the Bloody Bard. Take a ride on the haunted hay wagon of horror. And walk through the frightening Field of Corn. Located on Bestwick Road, one of the creepiest spots in Mercer County. Come out and see us. The legend of Hell's Hollow lives on. These days, car insurance companies may sound like they're saying switch and save, but it usually ends up more like bait and switch. Safe Auto gets it. No conditions to save. Only the right car insurance for the right price. Safe Auto. Call, click, and enjoy the road ahead.
You have deep-rooted fear of the unknown. You get squeamish when you hear noises in the night. Cold sweat breaks out on your forehead when you walk past the radio. And you are superstitious about cats crossing your path. Don't even think about All Hallows Eve when ghosts, goblins, and witches come out. Oh, the truth is you love to be scared. And this year we're helping you get scared for half the price with our half-off haunts. On sale September 15th. Visit Sweet Deals on our website for half-off haunt specials like...
Take a ride through 68 acres of the area's most terrifying hayride and then get dropped off at the Insanitarium, the most intense haunted house in Northeast Ohio. The haunted house is loaded with tons of blood, guts, and gore. The Fear Forest has created a walkthrough path outdoors where crazies from inside were exiled to the outdoor trail. You'll meet them face-to-face while walking the psychopath. If that's not enough, walk through the forbidden cornfield. For more info, visit fearforest.com.
Venus, Secrets of Grace, producers of skin and hair care products suitable for all ages. Made from organic olive oil and aloe vera herbs, vitamins, and essential oils. Go to venussecrets.us.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Wimbush.
How would you say six? I'm back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I am trying to play a clip, and I've got to get it up. I played it a little bit earlier. You might have missed it, so I'm going to try to do it again. Hey, six, what's going on?
I just wanted to know how much stuff you were trying to run at the same time.
Everything,
I heard like 16 voices running at once.
Well, there's a lot going on. And there's a lot going on because, you know, we're still on the domestic violence, women behind why I stayed. People ask her, why did she get married? And so I'm trying, and there's so much out here right now, but I've got to play this clip because this is bothering me to no end. Listen to this. Now, I understand racism is real in America. I don't want anyone to call me, ask me, tell me about racism in America. I understand that this is real. I understand that Ferguson had a problem with law enforcement. I'll give you that. I understand that we have a problem with law enforcement across the country in a lot of ways. I will give you that also. But I don't think this is how you combat it.
You know that little place where white police shot an unarmed black teen in the face? It was a national disgrace. So listen up.
Because we're here to talk to you
about race.
Sometimes white people are like, but is racism still a thing?
Spoiler alert.
Ooh, yeah. That's because Beyonce is on your playlist and you voted for Obama.
Doesn't mean that our generation
has seen the end of racist drama. Racism is not one of those things. So go away.
If you pretend it doesn't exist.
Like, Crocs or Justin Bieber.
All this focus on race makes me uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable?
Driving black.
Fun fact.
When the NYPD stops white people,
they frisk only 8%.
When they stop black and Latino, they frisk 85%.
Oh! Ooh, what's that smell?
That would be racism.
We just want an equal shot in life.
Not to be shot to death.
It's you people who are making this belt race.
I don't see color.
Really?
Did you know that employers
don't even need to see the color of our skin?
For the discrimination to begin. Resumes with black sounding names. Like Tamisha or Tyrone. 50% less likely
to be called in for a job interview.
In the exact same resume.
With white sounding names. But is this injustice? Surprising.
When 40% are white.
Actually say white people are more hardworking than black people.
You people are just playing the race card. No one's playing cards. This is not a game.
Complain about this race card BS.
It's just an obvious choice.
Of trivializing
and marginalizing people. So stop.
Some of my best friends are black.
You get a cookie! Here's a hot tip.
You're not really being a friend. We try saying racism has reached its end.
Racism is not over, but I'm over racism.
The continued discrimination against black people.
Us white people, we have to erase it. And the first step is to own up and face it. In America, fighting for equal treatment
is not a black thing.
We all have to do our part.
Be the shit, get a shirt. $5 from each shirt goes directly to charities working in communities to fight racism. Band together against racism.
Racism is not over, but I'm over racism.
There I am. There, I got a problem. That is, racism is taught. And racism is learned. And I know that it's out there. But this is not how you fight it. And taking little kids and indoctrinating them into something like that is not cute in any way, shape, or form. And as African Americans, we need to be honest. If we had that and it was a bunch of white kids talking about white purism or whatever, we would have a major, major heart attack. Straight up. That's not good. And that's just my personal opinion. I know it's out there, and I am not clueless. I am well aware on both fronts what's out there. But this is not how you cut this cat. And then they have the nerve for their name to be for this coalition. It is FCK8.
H8.
H8. And you got kids.
And you got little kids.
Cussing in the BS. And that's not what you do. Any other comments out there? The number is 347-945-5229. Dr. Hill's delivering the baby. He's on his way. Go ahead, Pianchi.
Yeah, I don't see nothing wrong with it myself. I think it's a good skit. In fact, I worked with a teacher at the high school, and they put on a skit. They had this is a nice, very nice high school. Had a little theater, and a major theater. And the little theater, they put on skits, which got away from what the teachers wanted to have: Shakespeare and Otello, somebody may correct me if I'm mistaken, but I think that was a good skit that they put on.
Why do you think that this is a good, this is okay, this is good?
Because they are countering some commonplace slogans. I like the one kid when he said, some of my best friends are, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said some of my best friends. You know, if I was to say some of my best friends are Nigerians. And
okay, if someone comes to you and says some of my best friends are black or my best friend is African American, why am I insulted by that?
Well, it's not that you being assaulted by it. That is the commonplace term that people have been known to say in order to dispel whatever underlying agenda that they may have. So I think that the parents was responsible for them kids putting that on, and they've done a very good job.
And so you think that it's okay for you to put your children into this type of conversation?
Well, this had nothing to do with the parents, Bianchi. This was a produced advertisement for this FCKH8.
They're selling T-shirts.
Yeah. Well, my children, my daughter and grandson went to schools where they did have skits like that. Frederick Douglass Academy, Patel Academy. Yes, it did.
Why are we not teaching that there's no division between you and I, and I'm equal with you? So let's just come together on common goals and move forward, I don't see. This is my problem. We don't get it. We don't get it. We want to be included when we want to be included. We want to be excluded when we want to be excluded. And this is not how you overcome stupidity, because Ferguson is some of our responsibility, because we are sitting on the sidelines being inactive, waiting for somebody to come and work for it.
Well,
let me response to that. We show our kids where they're not equal. Like the one child mentioned about the name. So if that name shows up on the application, we have had put on tests where the same person will apply under different names and under the white sounding name rather than the cultural name, like the child mentioned in the skit, they would get callbacks. So that shows there.
Can I be very, very transparent with you? I have come to find out.
And I have experienced that myself.
Bianchi, the problem is not with the color of your skin. The problem is the fear of the drama you may bring with you. Now, don't get me wrong. Because I don't know what you're going to bring to work when you come. Because if you bring the same kind of attitude that you instilled in these young people right here, I don't want to hire any of them. Because I'm not looking for anybody to come into my organization. And listen, I'm not looking for anybody to come into my organization and upset the apple cart. I got enough problems trying to get through regulation, payroll, and what's going on within my own confines of what we're doing. Let alone you coming in there with some drama.
I would hire him in my business.
I know you would hire him in your business, but the question is, how long would you keep him?
I keep him till the job is done.
Let's look at this another way. If I've got a construction company, and I'm interviewing a woman, and she shows up in a pair of tight shorts and a halter top for the interview, she ain't getting hired, because I don't want to deal with one woman and 50 guys.
Absolutely.
Because I don't need to hassle. She might be the best welder on the planet, but I don't want to deal with
sexual
drama. Yeah.
I don't want to deal with that. Listen, when you look at manufacturing jobs, and you know that you have an environment that is all white males, and you're trying to diversify, and you look at the resumes, you want to make sure you want someone who's going to come into your organization and be a part of it. Don't come into my organization and try to change it. And we know
I agree with you, Tracy.
And so the concern is not with necessarily the name. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that some people are racist and they don't want no black people, and I'm not saying that. But right now, if I need a good spot welder, and he is the best spot welder, he can name his name Kafuhu, whatever you want to name him. But I don't want you to bring drama with you.
I agree with you, and sticks what you said. We can have to agree with the people in Qatar who don't want Western women coming over there dressed like that neither, and they put them out of the mall. But what I'm saying is that these children was talking about reality. There was a case when a teacher told a black child who had a Muslim name, why come your parents didn't name you a name that's easy to pronounce? So these things are reality with these children.
Why would you put it together a song, a skit, and or whatever you want to call this, a parody, whatever you want to call it? Why would you put that in their minds when they have not even experienced racism yet?
That's not true. They have experienced racism.
Some of those kids have never experienced racism yet.
They experience it in the schools. Yes, they have, too.
No,
why
they
you
don't.
Gonna say what these kids? Tracy, these are not your children. I don't even know if you got any children.
Listen, I don't have children, but you can go into a school, have to go through a whole day.
Yeah.
Listen,
but
you
also,
can go through a whole day as a young person and not
fact,
experience
this
racism.
Afternoon, this
Hello?
Afternoon, I'm going over to Pomoja Academy, which is an African center school here in St. Louis, and these children have experienced racism.
So let me ask you this. At 6 years old, and you put your child into a black school.
Why are you
school,
hollering, Tracy?
My question is,
are you a mad black woman?
Yes, I'm mad. I've been mad all morning.
You don't even have these.
I don't like ignorance.
She showed up wound up, Bianchi.
I don't
so you're
like
dealing
ignorance.
With.
I have a problem with ignorance right now. And we're trying to live and cohabitate in a nation, and everybody's trying to be their own independent island. And that's not how this works. And that's a problem. Ignorance is just stupid. And I don't understand why we want to indoctrinate children who have not even been exposed to racism yet and let them know because of the color of your skin, you're limited. You can call me what you want. If you don't want to hire me, I'll go start my own. Because you not liking me is not going to limit me. That's the song. The song is not preaching this and indoctrinating our young people into something that will hinder them and limit them. Race is not, it's not a problem. You have to overcome it. Because I don't care if you don't like me. And if we don't start teaching that, we lose. That's like handicapped children, people who are blind. You tell them and you inspire them to continue on and to be the best. You don't tell them that you're limited, you got to stay on SSI, and you can't do anything. That's not how this works. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say that there are certain cultural behaviors which African Americans tend to demonstrate when they're among other people that other people don't like, you know, certain ways they talk, certain ways that they would tend to congregate, and if they're among each other, people who are of another race, they're not drawn to that. And we can't be naive. People automatically try to be with other people who have the same type of cultural type of experiences as them. So people are going to, most people are going to start to segregate based upon if they have those shared types of cultural experiences. Also, a lot of the names that the children have, they're not derived from Islam or Africa. And many of these ghetto names, they have no type of derivation outside of the ghetto. A lot of these parents, I don't understand why they're naming their children some of these names. And so,
let me say this, John, really quick. Who names their kids chlamydia?
Yeah.
Do they know what it is?
Don't, they like the name. So what does that tell you of the mindset of the person who might walk through the door?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you a question. So I guess my parents was wrong when they named me Bianchi.
No, your name is Bianchi. And I don't have a problem with your name being Bianchi. And Bianchi is an
African name.
But what
is John talking about?
But you have people.
What I'm saying is that some of these names come directly from the ghetto. They're not coming from Africa. They're not coming from Islam. Some of these names are just ghetto names that are going to tend
that
to
you make up.
Stop the child's progress in the future if they have to put the name on a resume.
There's nothing wrong with the child's name. A parent's got a right to name their child what they want.
Their child after a venereal disease. Am I hearing y'all correctly?
Yeah. I got a girlfriend. She named her son Million Dollar.
Hey, there's a doc.
Hey. Why would you name your daughter your son Million Dollar?
Hopefully you'll be rich.
And that be the name of a child. Why would you do that? Do we not? I mean, I'm just saying.
Life ain't easy for a boy named Sue.
You understand? I mean, you can name your child what you want, but you have to understand, you have to hold the repercussions of the name. And then I know people discriminate against names. I have many friends who have now using their middle names because their first names they limit them from getting phone calls back.
And look at, I mean, and Northwest.
Why would you do that?
I mean,
because you can.
So
what about Beyoncé's child is named Blue Ivory? Stevie Wonder's child has a unique name.
Ivy,
they name their name what they
listen,
they name their child
Ivy,
what they
listen,
want to name them.
Blue Ivy is not Ivory. Blue Ivy. No, it's Blue Ivy.
Oh.
Ivy Watt. There's nothing wrong with it. I've got a cousin. Her name is Frankie Blue. And, you know, that's what you want to name your child, fine. But what I'm saying
right.
is,
that's
you,
the point.
What,
they
but
name
what I'm
their
saying
children
is,
what they want to name.
But listen,
but
what
I'm
saying
is, saying
is you
that
can name
name
your child what you choose, but you have to understand whatever you choose, for every action there is a reaction, whether you
what
like
if,
it or not.
What if a white person would name their son
child
Jack?
If it's not coming out of a cultural experience?
They do.
Then what it's going to do, it's going to start to retard the child's progress if they have to move among groups of people who are very conservative in nature. If they see these, odd names, it's going to make the person think that this person possibly comes from some type of alternative lifestyle that's not going to be conducive for their company. So, you know,
well, I
you
disagree
have to think
with
of that.
Well, wait, you know what? Actually,
hold on, guys. Let's say Dr. Hill.
Actually, that person, as they get older, will probably call themselves
something else
based on that sounds more accommodating.
Well, people change their
names. For example, my mother's maiden name is Slutz, Slutz. I have a cousin that changed his name legally to Slootz because everybody called him Slutz.
People change their names all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've got a Debbie that became an Alma. She didn't like her name. And it's okay not to like it. I mean, if you choose. But I'm just saying, when you look at what's going on with racism in America, and that's where I was, it's real. But heck, we
are
racist against our own self. Hold on, Bianca. I'm serious. We discriminate against our own people. We get mad because white people don't want to come use you, but you don't want to use you.
Sounds familiar.
we don't want to give you opportunity. We will tear down our next door neighbor just for the sake of tearing them down. And then and white people ask me, Tracy, why do black folks do that? I'll be like, I don't know. But yet you get mad when they say something, or if they say, well, one of my closest friends are black. Well, you shouldn't say that. Well, if you're friends with them, you ought to say that. If you're offended by that. But every time somebody says their friends are black and or you people or something, a cliche, or I don't see race, I know white folks, they've been around black folks so long, they think they're black. And I'm a little concerned about them after a while. I'm serious. Or they have black children.
And you got a guy like South Carolina, they want to call him white.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm serious. This is
explain this to me.
What?
Explain this to me. If a black person likes country music, they're a sellout. But if a white person likes rap, that's okay.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't call a young white person that likes rap a sellout.
But
that's just what they like. That's
but,
who they are.
But let me say this. The reason I'm getting to this is because I'm fine. I know racism is real, but I think we are doing our young children a disservice when we teach them about racism before racism comes to them.
Well, Sticks, what about if a black person likes some of the tenets of the Ku Klux Klan, they are said by black people to be crazy.
Well, that, I mean, why would you?
I don't know. There's some sentence that might be good. You might
and
want to learn
and,
something
in Webster Dictionary, in Webster Dictionary, the Klan is defined as a Christian organization.
Oh, Pionki, don't go stupid.
No.
See, that's what I'm doing stupid.
No.
Don't, there, no,
no,
I'm not doing
no.
it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not
no.
doing ignorant. I'm not doing
no.
stupid. I'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, Ford Edge has a panoramic Vista roof standard and available sync technology, so it's ready for your next driving adventure. See your local Ford dealer or visit drive1ohio.com.
Do you find yourself constantly tired, or do you feel like your immune system is weak? Consider Super Immune Forte C1000 with bioflavonoids and Super D3. These drugless prescriptions can be a perfect antidote to help you overcome these problems. Contact Mason Wellness Center at 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Robert Keegan with your headline news. A man who took part in a heroin distribution ring in Youngstown will go to prison for 5 years. A federal judge sentenced Michael Flores Maldonado yesterday. He pleaded guilty earlier this year. He says he became part of the ring to help support his family. A federal grand jury has indicted three men for allegedly using fake credit cards at the Elm Road Walmart in Bazetta Township. It happened last month. Investigators say the men made several trips to the store, and they were caught with more than 100 credit cards encoded with fraudulently obtained numbers. And a Youngstown woman was arrested after breaking into an apartment and fighting with a resident. And it all started with a Facebook message. 22-year-old Lakeisha Cotton was challenged to a fight by another woman on Facebook. She accepted the challenge. She showed up with her husband. He was arrested for breaking into the apartment as well. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Stephen A. Smith, he's going to be addressing some comments that he made on Friday regarding NFL player Ray Rice's two-game suspension for allegedly knocking out his fiance. Now, Smith basically said no man should ever hit a woman, but a woman should learn how to avoid provoking a man's anger. Now, some people are outraged, and let me just point out that the comment that he made is based on what the young lady said she did. Let me just make that clear to y'all. Yeah. She said, I hit him, and I believe that's what Stephen is pointing.
No,
I just wanted to say,
for a man,
yes,
hitting a woman unless his life is in jeopardy.
No, I'm sorry.
He knocked her out. He knocked her out.
Listen, I'm sorry. If you hit somebody, you cannot be sure you are not
other
going
soft
to get hit by
an
idol. Because, no. Oh, yes,
no,
baby. Listen, if you're a little boy,
yeah,
and you grow up with a little sister says, no, you can never hit her. And she's like this, and she's hitting you all the time. You say, Mommy, Mommy. She's like, well, you know what? I'm sorry. If you hit her, you have to teach women, do not put your hands on anybody. Let me just finish my point. Because I know I'm going to catch a lot of hell, and I don't care. But you have to teach women, do not live with this idea that men have this chivalry thing still with them.
Right.
Don't assume that that's still in place.
Right.
You know, so don't be surprised if you hit a man and he hits you back. You don't hit that. Listen, I'm sorry. You hit somebody, they hit you back.
Okay,
don't be surprised.
When it comes to physical strength, they're not equal.
It's the man.
Teach the son.
Listen, you men have already been taught.
There's no circumstance to hit a girl unless your life is in danger. I've tried a lot of domestic violence cases. Men cannot hit women. Period.
Then you have to teach the women not to put their hands up on anybody.
That's blame the victim, though.
Oh, my God. That is not blame the victim. I just said don't anybody hit anybody. Don't hit anybody. But if you make the choice as a woman who's 4'3" and you decide to hit a guy who's 6 foot tall and you're the last thing he wants to deal with that day and he hits you back, you cannot be surprised. Let's not hit him anymore.
And I agree wholeheartedly. My name is Tracy Windlass. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. I agree with that, and I'm sorry. You know, even this is the problem that I have. That you heard them say, well, men, you know, she's not equal. Well, we want, as women, we want to be equal with everything else. We want to go up the fire truck. We want to haul coal. We want everything to be equal. We want to be on the front line. We want to be able to go out in the middle of a battlefield and have menzies and think it's straight. And then yet, when you hit a man, it's okay for me to hit you, but you can't hit me back? Absolutely not. I'm sorry.
But also, that depends on the size of the woman. I think in that case, you were dealing with a muscular football player who was much larger than his wife. And
listen,
the fact that he would hit his wife back, that's what made people feel upset about the whole thing.
John, if I spit on you and hit you, because as we said yesterday, and we had a young man who called in from, I think, North Carolina, and he said he got some sisters that can take a couple brothers out. Don't let the size of women fool you, because, you know, we can find some strength somewhere. And you have to understand, we have the propensity to pick up stuff and throw it at you. Don't think that women can't be brutal, because we can. And we are.
But that's what I'm saying, that it depends on the circumstances. If you're dealing with a woman that's very large and she's trying to fight you like a man,
John,
the person's going to have to defend themselves. But,
John, I can be smaller than you and still whip you.
Yeah. But the only thing I'm saying is this particular situation, you had someone who was a professional athlete lifts weights all the time, who is very large, and they struck a woman who was much smaller than them. And that's what outraged people about it.
But we know why they're outraged. The question is it okay? And right now they're demonizing this young man. And the girl, the wife has already spoken out, said, "Leave us alone. You've got to turn my life into a nightmare." And we're still going at it. They have suspended him indefinitely. You know, the commissioner of the NFL. And I said this yesterday, I'm tired of seeing black men being the object of people's perception of when it comes to, we're going to show everybody. So we're going to use you as an example. I'm tired of seeing black men being an example because, again, he ain't the first NFL player to hit his wife and or girlfriend and or to rape them. Yes, Doc.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not uncommon on all teams to a degree.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. This is not the first report. And if we're thinking, and the NFL is being very, very disingenuous, because if they cared about the girl and if they cared about domestic violence, and yeah, they can say, "I got this wrong back in February." But see, their wrong in February should not create chaos and hatred for this man today. And that's what they're doing. They should have stood by what they said and made sure that the policies in the future reflected that of the mistakes that they made on yesterday. But I'm having major, major, major problem with them going after this young man the way they're doing it. And yes, he was wrong for hitting her back. She shouldn't have hit him, spit on him, but he definitely should not have cold cocked her the way he did. But
yeah,
nevertheless,
Tracy, I think that they're going after him not because of the video, but because we all saw the video.
It was because it's a good example.
And you
got proof now.
But we knew he admitted to.
Yes, he did.
To that.
Yes, he did. He said I did it, and he got punished. He went to court.
Yeah.
He went through his program. He's going through counseling program.
Yeah. So he said he did it.
So
we knew he did it.
The problem is we didn't see it.
But we knew he did it.
But we didn't see it. See, now I got visual. You hold on, Bianchi. Local call. Your mic is on. Yes, Steve.
Realize that he's a man that could probably even beat up a man and probably hurt him seriously, probably even kill him.
That's,
because I've known men.
I agree.
So that's another reason why we just do not go in for a man beating up a thin woman. I've seen women that were violent and that could do some harm to men, but still, I'm not in favor of a man beating up.
Steve, this is not about being. This is not about being beaten up. This is not my problem. I listen. A man is wrong for hitting a woman. I believe that. I come from the days of chivalry.
Bill sent us a message that Bruce Lee was small. Does that mean Chuck Norris shouldn't have hit him back?
That's true too. Yeah, because Chuck. Yeah, you might have a point there. But I'm just saying that this is the problem that I'm having. It really is, because we have enough problems in our own community. And I got a problem. You know, I got a problem with Ferguson. I got a problem with at city council meeting last night. And you're being reactionary. Where if you had been proactive, you wouldn't have the problems that you have. But it showed me for years politically, you've been inactive. You haven't participated.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten involved. You haven't gotten educated. It's just what that shows me. And now you're mad because things are not going your way. Well, you can't sit on the sidelines and then try to call the shots when the game is played. Go ahead, Bianchi.
Well, you're talking about women getting beat up. Where are the outcry from these police officers that's beating these women on the side of the road, on the hood of their car? And when you show two white police officers at the front door of this African-American elderly woman, and she cracks the door open and is talking to them, and one of them reaches through with his fist and punches her in the nose.
But Bianchi, that's something different. Again, all that, and let me say, and all that speaks to ignorance. Because American people are not engaged in the process. We don't get involved. We don't do the right thing. We're mad about Janae getting hit, but then nobody do nothing when she got hit. Seriously. Hey, Alabama, good morning.
Yeah, did you see the video I tagged you in?
Which one?
with Whoopi Goldberg. She was just talking about.
Yeah, I did.
Situation.
I just played it, and I agree with her. I agree wholeheartedly with her. I just played it. Absolutely. I ain't got no business, and I have done it. But don't get me wrong. I was wrong.
It's just called having dignity towards other human beings. I mean, you just don't put your hands on a man and a woman. A man doesn't put his hand on a woman. And any violation should be treated the same, you know, under the law. But to me, the factor of strength, there are some men that are, you know, benching 100 pounds. There's some men benching 600 pounds. So just because a man hit another man, it's almost like a man hitting a woman. It's almost the similar, you know. If you get into who's the strongest and who, I mean, we gotta, you know, as a man, I wanna go back to the old school way. But if women wanna be looked at as equals and respected as equals, then and wanna try to take on our jobs and responsibilities, then they need to be willing to do that. If not, sit down and shut up. Simple as that.
And that's how I'm that's how I feel. I really do. I can't ask to be a man and then all of a sudden I want to be a girl. You can't do both. And there we get up in men's faces and we go crazy. I mean, I'm serious. We do some dumb stuff.
Just like the girl that spit on the bus driver. She spit on him. And
he got fired because he knocked out.
That was two things. First of all, he was done near elderly. Now, the man is probably in his late 50s, early 60s, and you spit on him. That man old enough to be your granddaddy. I mean, I've gotten into it with elderly people, but I still give them a certain level of respect and hold, you know, just because I was just raised like that. Then she talked about when the news talk caught up with her, she's like, well, I just never thought he'd hit me. Like, I'm about to say, you think you just going to spit on this guy and he just has to take it? Come on, man.
I mean, I would have a major problem if somebody spit on me. That's why I don't carry a gun. You know, I'm serious. I know my limitations. You can't spit on me and I got a gun and I'm not going to pull it and shoot it. That's real. You can't do that. And I don't think we understand that we need to learn our parameters and learn respect. But, you know, as I said about racism, you know, teaching children the racism early is not a good method, not when they're trying to become productive in America. That's not how you deal with it. Because, and let me say this, and I think Sticks will agree with me, and as African Americans, we need to understand white people ain't thinking about you as much as you think they are.
Not at all.
See, why you got to say not at all? That ain't nice. We think about them a whole lot more. We talk about them a whole lot more than they ever think about us.
No. I think you got it mixed up.
When I do business with a black person, the only thing I'm looking at is green. And that's a fact.
You got it mixed up. I mean, they don't have to think like that because everything is in a certain it's already set up a certain way. So why would you? They don't have to think like that. They don't have to see it like that.
Yeah, because the majority of them are already in a position of power, so therefore
the
they don't have to
not.
Think about
no,
you
not.
That much.
They're not.
No, we're not.
They're not.
Wage slaves like everybody
you know,
else.
Not necessarily.
And that's why I made the comment I made earlier about Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't, I mean, yeah, you can ban him from the NBA, but guess what? He's going to sell his team for $2 billion more than what it's worth and walk away and ride off in this sunset laughing.
Not only did they sell it for $2 billion, but the owner from the Atlanta Hawks, he said, I think I'm going to try to become a racist, too.
Yeah.
That looked like it's a good job.
I mean, yeah.
It turns a good process.
I got news for you. Most white people are living paycheck to paycheck, and they're wage slaves just like everybody else.
And that's why they don't care about
when
you.
When I say position
of
power, I'm saying that the society is already geared towards you. It's not geared towards people who are African-American. That's
and
what
when
I mean.
You say geared, when you say geared towards me, what do you mean?
It's geared toward the head.
I mean,
when you go in a bank and try to borrow money, you have to dress in a European suit. You have to speak English. You can't come in speaking Mandingo. You can't come
I
in with a dialect
right.
or an afro.
No. Now, hold on. Now, let me say this.
I mean, we
basically exist
in a European culture.
Listen, John, let me say it this way. You no longer have to go in there with a suit on. But you cannot go in there busting a sag
wearing a pair of $200 tennis shoes. You can't do that.
And by the same token, a young white person can't walk in there with one of those beer cans sticking out of his ear and a bone in his nose.
I mean, you can't go in there with a white beater shirt on, and cat it. You can't do that.
What we're saying is we exist in a European culture that is more puts the fact that someone as white as being something that's a part of the mainstream or the norm. So,
and what I'm saying to you is that thought right there limits you when you first walk in the door.
But you know what? There's something called, or I don't know if it's called that, but there's a reference to certain members of the Caucasian society race.
Yes.
That they're three initials for them, and then they are viewed a certain way.
What do you mean three initials? Hey, you. Because we live around, you know, people think that they're poor white trash, and they get viewed the same way.
Believe it or not, they are viewed in a way that I never will forget. I had an experience with a young white guy. We were doing construction work, and the foreman, he commented to the guy. He said, he said, hand me a cup of water. And the kid gave him a cup of water, and the foreman responded, you PWT, don't you dare hand me that cup of water in your filthy hands. And you know what I said to myself? I'm not coming back the next day. if he said that to him, oh, my God, is he going to say to me?
And that's what I'm saying.
I ain't coming back tomorrow.
And Alabama, you had a comment. What I'm saying is, yeah, we know the system is set up for the haves. I think somebody said
the haves.
Yeah.
But then we know that it works against you. But when you put in your mind that I'm limited by the color of my skin, then I'm limiting myself in my own mind before I even get to where I'm going.
And we need to remember that business attire all over the world is a Western cut. Two-piece suit.
That's why
I don't care. You shop to Japan, South Africa.
That's why the president got dressed up and wearing a tan suit.
Yeah. That's.
But let me interject one thing though. The thing is, for African American women and Caucasian males, it is just as easy for you both to borrow money. If you a black woman can borrow money as easily as a white male. So. And to sit and say that you just spoke volumes when you said that black men, I mean that the European culture, you just basically validated me and Philadelphia's point by saying that you have to wear suits and speak English. It's because they kicked everybody's behind and went around and raped and pillaged and Cecil Rhodes, that's why they call it Rhodes Scholar and King Leopold. These people were barbaric.
Alabama. I ain't got but 3 minutes. I ain't got about 7 minutes before I put my day up. I got a question for you. I got a question for you right now. If everybody in the world is wearing a European Western cut suit, why in the heck do you think you can walk in there busting a sag with your head not combed and think you're going
to
get a loan?
Well, you're
talking you're black.
To me because I don't
but do Tracy.
That. I don't do
Tracy.
That.
What?
That's not true what Slick said, because in Senegal they don't wear suits. Surely in the Arab, in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, they don't wear suits. They wear their own.
But they got their own money.
In India, they wear their own. They wear their own custom attire.
They got their own money.
I just wanted to straighten it.
If you see a leader of any of those countries at an international festivity,
mm-mm,
what do they wear?
They're wearing their own cultural dress. But they're not looking to impress America and or anyone else because they got their own.
But America
when they
look like ragheads.
But when they decide that they want to come over here and get something from them, they somehow tend to find a suit. See, let me say this, and I'm with you, because even what I'm saying is, as black people in America, if you know the attire is a blue suit, why would you do like the president and show up in tan?
But let me ask
you
a question.
Point.
when Obama went over to a country and he done the customary thing to bow, why did white America criticize him?
Because he wasn't supposed to bow, because he's the president of the United States, and the president of the United States does not bow.
Our naval ships do not dip the flag to any other nation either.
You need to know where you're going for who you are, because we don't bow to anybody else. That's just, and it may be
well,
our arrogancy.
Know,
but the thing is, you as a black man cannot change it, and that's the problem. Until you get in the house and you begin to own the house, you can't make the rules of the house. But right now, we want to go in the house and stand outside and make the rules, and then we wonder why it's not working for us.
Yeah, if I say I'm gonna give you $1,000 and you show up wearing a suit, why would you not show up wearing a suit?
See what I mean? As a woman, as I said, as a woman, I bought a car. I'm having some problems. I'm getting ready to stop up there in a minute. When I go out there, I'm going to go down the street. I'm going to let them know. Listen here, you might have seen a woman, and I didn't tell you who I was when I walked in the door, but I really don't think you want to cross me. It would be the wrong person today. Wrong one. But again, we need to understand. You don't have to go in and flex your muscles and tell who you are. Just do what you have to do. And right now, it's not about the color of your skin. It's about your credit score. Because if you got credit, you can do some stuff.
Well,
if you don't have a job, you might not have credit.
But
if you got some
credit. So, I just want to ask a question. Sticks just made a comment about people living paycheck to paycheck. White people have $22 for every $1 black people got. Why is that then? If everybody, they
because
the same
we save
level
it
as us.
Because they save it, and let me tell you what they do. See, I go into some people's houses that are very, very wealthy, and they got the same furniture as my mama. Their stove is older than mine. They live and they wear sweaters in the wintertime. They save money. They pay their bills on time. And they're not trendy. Every Women's Day, they don't go buy a new dress, hats, gloves, shirt. They don't do all that. The children are not wearing $200 tennis shoes, and they do this as who they are. They don't spend no money, and they live, hold on, and they live very, 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 I'm just telling you, they live very, very different. And,
okay.
You know, it's like, that furniture, I threw that furniture out, you know, 20 years ago, and I had four more sets still then, and they still on the same furniture. You walk in our house. And ours looks like a magazine, and we change it every 5 to 10 years.
Okay, but
not
Tracy,
because it's broken,
read,
but because we don't like it.
Tracy, if you read The Millionaire Mind by Thomas J. Stanley, he breaks down the affluent people in America that live like what you just said. They make up a very fractional percentage of the actual.
I've read both of those books.
No,
those
that's
books
what I'm,
are based
I read
on the majority of self-made millionaires in the country.
No,
you're wrong.
No,
that's the way.
No.
That's the way.
If you look at that, it's not just when you say self-made. It's a lot more characteristics within the book. If you read it, that talk about how these people lived as well. It's not always just self-made.
But what I'm saying is, when you ask $22 to one, when I have to get my paycheck and I spend the paycheck and you know they bring their lunch to work. I mean, people they do things differently. They don't get a coffee at Starbucks every day. Now their kids might, but they don't. But I'm serious. They live differently, and
conservative
so,
money is way different than liberal money.
It's not even conservative liberal money. They do things differently. They don't pay. They
well,
don't pay
$300
for
money.
They don't pay $300 to get their hair weaved.
I'm talking about 180 million people in this country that are white. Compared to the 40 million that are black. You telling me all these people are just living better? They're living smarter with their money, and that's why it's not because
most,
of
a lot of them
ran their granddaddy off
well,
of the land.
Yes,
it, man.
Yes, yes. Because you know why? Because if you look at our grandparents and those of them that came out of the depression, if we ran our money and ran our lives the way they do, we would have more money than we do. But we don't live like that.
And
we
I'm
don't. And it's
well,
not what you
I don't
make;
watch.
It's what you do with what you make.
I don't
you
watch
live
my
above
underwear. I throw them away and buy a new pack. It's cheaper.
And let me also say this, and so that we really get it, because we have friends, we have a plant here. We got General Motors. General Motors, these guys are making some long cash in an area that is very, very underserved, and most of them do not have $20,000 in cash saved up.
It's my understanding that the plant here at General Motors has the highest per capita rate of bankruptcy of any industrial facility in the area.
But we get a new Cadillac lease every year. or every 2 years.
Yeah. Well, our mindset needs to change. I'm out. Their means. Yeah.
And you know, hey John, you still there? Hello.
I'm here. Go ahead.
I was gonna ask John, where you come up with this stuff about ghetto names? People name their children what they want to name them, and well, that is very good. People give their children cultural inspired names. Talking about ghetto name, my name is about a half a sentence long.
Yeah, I mean they don't.
And when I was in business, I couldn't use it because nobody could pronounce it. So I had to have a pseudonym. Ain't no such thing as no ghetto names. I mean, that's the case. Well, I ain't gonna say it.
No problem with no cultural name. But chlamydia, that's a venereal disease.
I don't even know. I'm sure it's got more than 1 million.
But hold on. The thing is, this is the problem I have with what Styx was saying. Styx just makes it seem like white people just are smarter, and they're smarter with their money, and they do this and do that. And black people are just stupid with their money. They're wasteful. They're this, they're that. Look, man.
Listen.
I'm just saying.
Alabama.
Let me finish the point, Pionke. You cannot get the numbers where it's 22 to 1 for every dollar we got by your logic. That means everybody has to have. You got one guy that's like that, the numbers would be skewed. So, and that's a small fraction of the white community. The whole white community as a whole has 22 for 1. And it's not just including the wealthy 1%. I already got to say, well, that's just because of the 1%. No, that's not just because of the 1%. So when I hear stuff like this, and you go back in history and look at what has been done economically, because up until the 1930s when the Depression started, we were doing real well, and had we been left alone, we would be in those numbers as well, but we're not. And don't just sit up here and tell me that it was just because black people are lazy and they just stupid with their money. I got a problem.
Man, listen,
it's almost like they want
to
make it seem like they have this innate intelligence and they're just outright better from birth, and that's a lie.
The request I got for garnishments of my employees, 99% of them were for white employees. So what he's talking about is crazy. And Tracy is just as crazy when she's talking, saying that the people at their meeting last night didn't have a right to bring out the points that they brought out. They made reference to the city hall employees are all white. They made reference to the city council. And I know Ed James' son, he's on the city council. He's black, but somebody said there's another lady on there too. And the people say this is going to change, and rightfully so. When people first move to a community, 70% of the population black don't move there all at one time. My goodness. Where have you ever seen a population increase turn from 100% white to 70% black within a week? It took a long time for that to get that way. Probably a decade. And people that move out there don't have aspirations for running for political office. Some do, many don't.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have any ill will or ill feelings towards most whites. It's just that I feel like when they come down to it, I just hate to see people lie and say things that aren't the case, aren't true, and make it seem like something. Because what we're really saying is, you people, it's just you're just not intelligent. I mean, really, they'll never tell us that to our face. They'll never tell us.
Oh yeah, they do
that.
You're
not intelligent, but I've seen videos of the white kids. You know, black people are just dumb. They have shoes, $200 shoes. And I'm sitting like, look, I don't wear no $200 shoes, never did. And if I did, I had one pair that somebody gave me to me for free. So, I mean, it just is what it is, man. I can't see.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. You want me to tell you?
The overwhelming majority of African Americans are like that.
Listen, Alabama, white folks is not as smart as they are made out to be. I can tell you that firsthand. I've had some stuff that was messed up, and it was white folks that was doing it. I have had to come behind. We got a UPS building here that a white contractor erected. From the front end of that to the back end of it, it's 20 foot narrower at the back than it is at the front because of some crazy stuff that they done. They had to leave outdoors because you couldn't put them in. So, say that stuff is totally ignorant.
I mean,
but the thing is that whites will hire they dumb before they hire your black smart. Where are you at the Indy races or something,
man? I'm up here getting me a smoothie. I always step outside.
Yeah, seem like you about getting ready to get ran over.
No, man, it's just a little blunder. I'm up here getting me a smoothie for lunch. Yeah, man. I mean, it's just like that, though. It's just when I see stuff like Six stop short of saying certain things, but it's implied. There are implications when you say, when I bring out that statistic, and then they say, no, that's not because of racism and white supremacy. That's because, you know, we just budget our money. That's he just didn't word it like that. But when I say we got $1 for every 22 they got.
Actually, worse than that.
Yeah, but then you go to the fact that, well, those people, the millionaires, they're just there. I'm like, okay, so you're telling me that all of us bad without money. A overwhelming majority of black folks are bad with their money. But this is the point that Tracy cut me off. Culturally, and I read a book by a guy named Tony Brown called White Lies, Black Lies. In that book, he says people make people feel comfortable because of, if we're from the same culture. If I'm white and you're white and you got the same sense of humor, you got the same culture that I have, and you come in the bank, we can bond a lot faster than an African American that grew up in the hood but went to college, got his education, and he comes in. Yeah, I might work with both of you guys, but the first one, thank you. The first guy is a guy who I can relate to, and for people to sit here and just be obviously negate the fact that that's the way it is. It's just disingenuous. Just tell the truth. Yeah, man. I mean, if you white and I'm white, and you come in there trying to borrow money, you know, you crack a joke, you put me at ease. I'm sorry. That's just human nature. It's human nature. If it was the other way around, I would have to agree that, yeah, black people do tend to, you know, feel at ease. When I see a brother, if I go to a out of town to Florida, and I went to Pensacola one day, and we was out, it was a bunch of white folks out there, and we saw a brother. We saw, you know, a black couple or whatever. We speak, you can kind of see, like, okay, hey, how y'all doing? We going to speak. We probably wouldn't have spoke, but because we're around all these people, and we don't see none of us, then we speak. You see what I'm saying? Because it's obvious that it's a cultural, you know, connection that we have as African Americans. And for them to sit up here and act like that doesn't affect economics is a lie.
Well, yes, it does affect that economic. That's what the people in Ferguson are saying. They're saying that these public service jobs, I mean, there's going to be a change in them. And I'm talking about the business jobs, because most of the business, like I mentioned before, the businesses along that area there where a lot of the looting went on, it was actually foreign businesses, hair care places. You had some black businesses. You had right there where Canfield runs into West Florissant, just to the left of there, you had a Ghanaian who has a doctor's office. Down at the other road, you got a Nigerian who has a pharmacy competing with Walgreens, but he does something different. So you didn't have no quote-unquote black businesses in that area. It was all foreigners, Asians, people from the Mideast,
That's like telling me that a person from China is comfortable with, say a man walks into a store and is owned by some Chinese people. Say it's a beauty care store. I walk into the store and an Asian man walks into the store. Who they going to feel most comfortable with?
Oh, they're going to feel more comfortable with the Asian man.
Why? Because they got something in common. Even if he's Korean, they got something in common we don't have. I mean, that's just common sense, human nature. It's not, I'm not, you know, so to sit up here and ignore this fact, it's just, it's crazy, man. When I hear people say the stuff they say, I'm like, man, that's not the case, man. Everybody and their mom know. That's why people.
And actually, they don't show it to you when you walk in the store. They show it to you when you come by from them wholesale.
Oh, they'll tell you. They told my homeboy they don't sell to niggas. Outright, just like that. We don't sell to niggas. And they was talking about what they were talking about is the quality product.
All right.
He wanted some stuff that I guess it was this new product that came out. He owned a beauty supply store. And they basically shut him out. They got a guild, basically, of 30 or 40 of them buying together. They'll put all their money together, keep a ledger as to who has what, and they'll just go out and buy in bulk. And they'll get stuff way down to, like, you know, and then they'll come sell it and mark it up 400% and sell it to us. Like weave is the cheapest thing you could ever buy. So we paying, you know, even the cheap weed, $60, $70 weed. Man, they getting that weed for, I know where to get weed on the internet for $20. Good weed, quality. But the same weed that they'll turn around and sell you for $80 to
$100.
Hmm. We ain't wearing Asian hair. We wearing Indian hair. The Asians going over there working a deal just like we can work a deal. And that's one thing I do agree with Tracy on is that it's time out for excuses, man. We have to get up.
And Slick's talking about people that do bit. That's not true. You go in, the president, you have many African presidents that come here wearing their own attire. Jamae of Gambia.
I mean, I agree, but I do think
a whole lot
to,
of
when you come to when you come
Nigerian
to like,
president, he wear his attire.
But when you go to these African countries, when you go to these African countries, I was in Ethiopia. The Ethiopians, basically, you got to learn English to get a decent job in Ethiopia. That's just the truth. They don't want you speaking in Harris, because when somebody come to Ethiopia that's from Europe, most of the time they speak English. Most of them. And if not, they want you to know, you know what I'm saying, at least Italian. That's another one, Italy.
Well, yeah, they do. But when they talk amongst themselves while you standing there, they speak in their own language, and you don't know what they're saying.
No, I agree with what I'm
and
trying
that's
to
the,
say.
And that's what
–
that's what.
But the point I'm trying to make, Tionki, is that it's something that I think you will agree with, is that European culture has dominated the world to the point where they don't – that's why they don't think like this. Like he said, well, man, white people don't think – we don't care about these issues. Of course you don't.
Well, yeah, they have dominated the world, and they have placed that just like French. I mean, you go look at a map of Africa, you got an English-speaking country, you got a French country. You got an English-speaking country, you got a French country. Then at the top, you got French-speaking countries. That was done in purpose.
Sticks just said, basically, look, we don't care about black boys going to prison. That stuff we don't even give thought to. All we care about is living our daily lives, basically what he said. Now, if I said it like that, he'll try to fix it. We don't care if these black boys are getting locked up and incarcerated. We're making money off of it.
Yeah, it's the same old bullshit, man. Just like that one politician that Tracy had on was talking about, we got to go after ISIS and all that bullshit. Man, that's some woke crap.
Yeah, but what's sad
that's why
about
come
that?
I wish these countries, that them countries need to hurry up and develop them some nuclear weapons, and that'll stop all that mess.
What's sad about that, though, they going over there doing this stuff, man. In all actuality, man, they probably could have been one of our guys doing it, man. If you want to go back into Iraq and you want to play games, why wouldn't you pull the troops out, then come back, have them cut the guy head off, go back in, make money off it? It's all about money, man.
Well, you know what? ISIS is probably – I was in discussion. He said he's willing to bet that ISIS are some disgruntled CIA agents that want money. Obama's asking for $500,000, $500 million. And they probably may be doing this elaborate. And it is said that China and Russia both know what happened on 9/11. I'm not going to say they know who did it, but they know what happened on 9/11.
Straight up, though, Pianchi, the whole CIA, everything is like, it's all in, man. I don't have no doubt. I seen a website that's through the government, a contractor, call ISIS. Google it. It'll just come right up. And it comes up. It's a government contractor, call ISIS. These folks, man, and they up there with pictures of folks with guns. And, man, these folks are straight training. They train these guys in Turkey. But when I hear Stick said what he said, that was telling. Yeah, we sure don't. Well, we really don't. Like, he said it like, and Trace was like, whoa, like, he really don't. He comes on this show and debate for fun. He don't care. Care about black issues. That's why I push the issues. Because he don't care. People like that don't care. And if they don't care, these are the people that own stuff, control stuff, have the resources to get out there and help, but they don't want us. They don't want to help. They don't care. They don't care about black kids and black issues. He just said it. Am I right?
Integrated System Improvement Services Incorporated.
Exactly.
You're right. Intelligence Technology Training.
That's it. So what they doing? You see the pictures of the guys with guns up there?
Yeah.
They train. They remember.
I even see McCain here coming out down the steps with son, trying to disguise himself.
See that? That's it, right there. So what that lets you know? We dealing with something way deeper than what folks want to lead on to. So they out here killing folks and then blaming the federal, blaming people over there. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's not a smoking gun per se, but. I mean, look how hard it is to convince people that these buildings didn't just fall like that. You don't just pre-wire a building to fall at any second like that. Am I right, Pianchi? Don't it take days?
No, it takes a long time.
It takes days and all types of stuff to wire a building up to pull it. Am I right?
Yeah.
So that's the problem I have when I hear people not really being genuine with it.
Yeah, they be making up some crazy stuff, man. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, that was telling what Stick said.
Well, John is so daggone. I wish he was still on. I'm sure he ran. You know I was going to get on his case.
John,
talking about ghetto names. Philadelphia, talking about ghetto names. Is he crazy?
Well, I'm going to say this here. I'm going to say this now. If you know you're in behind enemy lines, would you be conspicuous? That's the thing I'm trying to see.
Well, the thing is, though, Alabama, you don't taught these kids that everything in the world is fair. You don't talk them diversity. You tell them that they're going to get along. So here they name their kid a name based on whatever culture aspects that they relate to. Then all of a sudden we find out that their children are being discriminated because of who you name them. So what did that leave them? Why did we try to mask the reality from them by telling them that you go to a multicultural school, you're being bussed and all that stuff? They think everything's cool.
No, they learn in school quick. They learn in school quick that everything ain't cool.
Well, but what I'm saying is some of them don't. So if some of them name their child Asia, some of them name their child, my grandson, well, I ain't going to talk about him, but they name their child Malik. Some of them name their child Farrakhan. And all of a sudden they get out in the real world and they see that that name, once it shows up on the application, it gets thrown away.
Look, my girl's name is Regia, which is a straight black name, right? But actually some Indians think it's, I think it may have some Indian roots as well. But she's very good at what she does. She can get a job. But I'm not going to say that probably has not you know, like I wouldn't name my child. I just wouldn't. Not, and you know, I hate to say that, but I just wouldn't. I'd name my child something like Denver or something, you know, some name where you don't know if it's a boy or a girl or, you know, something real generic, you know, or they'll be like my name, Bill, you know. People say, you know, I'm a,
and look, let me tell you something. The go against what Sticks' idea I do, this white guy used to hang around, come around us all the time, you know, named John, try to be friends. His son and daughter-in-law adopted a Haitian child who already had a Haitian name, and they changed his name to McKinley, either McKinley or Montgomery, one of the two. I think it was McKinley. Well, now, what is that telling you? Why would you take this child out of his native habitat, out of his culture, had a cultural name, and give him a name that's not even even related to his experience? As a matter of fact, historically, that person has some detriments toward his country.
But hold on now. Let's think about how he's going to think when he's in his 30s. He's going to look at things a certain way, but he's going to look blacker than me and you probably. But he's going to have, that's what I'm saying. It's just, blackness is a state of mind, really, to me. I think it is. I think people don't want to look at it like that, but it is. I mean, blackness is a way of having a consciousness of your African heritage. And if you don't have that, then you act, you know, real callous towards certain things. You can't historically, like right now, the actual dominance of Africa, of European culture is based on what was done in Africa and other countries throughout the world within the last 500 years. Their dominance is not dominance because of they've proven to be the best. Their dominance is the dominance because they've proven to be the most treacherous. It just, that's just the bottom line. I mean, Europe, my friend, I was talking to him yesterday, and this girl at his job was talking about ISIS and how crazy they are, and she was all scared. This is a white girl. She said she was crying. Her husband told her they're going to attack the country, and she crying and scared. And he said, wait a minute. He went to Without Sanctuary, the website, right? Showed them where they cutting folks' penises off and burning them to a crisp and hanging them from a tree and skinning them alive and doing all this stuff. And I said, this is what was done within the last 50, 60 years on back. What make you, I mean, these people learn a lot of this stuff from us. We did this stuff in their country, just like when they take a woman's breast off. They learned that from the Belgian people. They came into Africa ripping women's breasts off and stuff like that. So that when we do it now, we savages. We're barbaric. But when they did it, it was conquest. It was for the betterment of Western civilization. So, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not a liberal by any stretch of the imagination. I'm conservative. I believe in capitalism, free enterprise, all that. But I'm fair. When it comes to history, you got to be fair, though. And if you look at history, then you can't really look at black people not being economically sound and say, well, that just means we're innately stupid. You can't do that.
Well, at the current tide, as things would be, white societies are sinking economically and also population-wise. At the end of this century, there won't be no white population in the top 20 in the world. So they are doing everything that they can to stop that. New York Yankees do what it can in order to try to maintain dominance when it comes to championships.
But let me ask you this. Let's look at South Africa. Look at South Africa now. They don't make up a large population of Africa, South Africa, but they dang sure control all the resources, don't they?
Well, I said that they was falling economically also. And one thing that they're trying to do is trying to prevent this currency competition. They don't want countries to get off of their monetary system. The one thing that's demonic with it is the SWIFT codes. For you to move money from one bank to the other, you got to go by their codes. And if they sanction and boycott you, they cut them codes off where the transaction won't occur.
That's about to change.
Right.
I've been reading about that. That Bitcoin game I was talking about yesterday, that's about to change. All these little fees for wiring money, they about to change all that. You can do all that through the internet. And it's decentralized. There ain't no one company they can go after. They scared of this. They trying to stop it. They trying to get legislation. Because it's getting, even if they do, that's just America. They can't do it all over the world. People in Germany, Germany's recognizing Bitcoin as a currency now. They in trouble, man. They in real trouble with this thing, man. And when you start giving people...
Well, everybody's trying to get away from it.
Yeah,
people trying to get away from the IMF. They're trying to get away from the World Bank.
You're giving people an alternative to the IMF and the World Bank. And then when you do
that... You know,
that,
if you borrow money from the IMF, you have to use it for what they want. Like, if you want to use it to build a clinic, to build the schools, they won't allow it.
Economic Hitman, that book brought me into wisdom on that. A lot of the stuff that these countries do is people think they're doing a lot of dumb things with their money. Man, why are they poor? These folks are poor out of two reasons. Number one, they're not going to let a person get out there that's really going to help the people. They're going to kill it, number one. Number two, if you get in, they're going to make sure that it's somebody that got a vice that they can get a control. You either like women, drugs, something, so that they can get in and make sure you live like a king, but the people don't get but a half of 1% of every dollar that come up out that country. And the rest of it is going to Exxon, Chevron, BP. They sucking the lifeblood out of a lot of countries. And when the people that have tried to stand up and do something wind up dying mysteriously. It happens all.
Yeah, like the Brazilian.
For these people.
Like that plane crash in Brazil where the presidential candidate, lost his life. And you can name a whole bunch of other ones.
So
where
why
he
is it every time somebody got a problem with the CIA or the federal government, the United States interest, and they get in the airplane, they wind up getting killed? That happens all the time. If we just compiled a list of the people that die in plane crashes that got problems that hurt the U.S. interest, and this is an old concept going back to the sinking of the Titanic with the guy, I think his name is Richard Astor, the one that died in the Titanic. He would have stopped the Federal Reserve from getting created, but he died on the Titanic. Now this guy's one of the richest people in the world. The boat gets hit, and you know they say the rich got off first. He should have been off. He's one of the richest guys in the world, but he still was on there and went down with the ship. So I already got a suspicion about that. They've been doing this for centuries, killing folks. And even if you read Egyptian history, going way this is thousands of years old. They've been killing people and
back in the old days they used to party.
Like, yeah, King Tut got killed like that. Julius Caesar got killed like that.
They poisoned.
Yeah, they killed him. They stabbed him to death. But that's what they do.
Shot Lincoln in the back of the head.
So I'm just saying, when it comes to stuff like, you know, these people are treacherous. Like, we're dealing with some straight evil people in government. Like, they're some of the most evil people on the planet, government.
And
like,
it don't make no difference what political affiliation they are. They have the same aspirations.
But that's why I'm for individual rights and freedom. Anytime you want to give up that, and I think that's the problem with Diva. Diva don't have no problem giving up freedom for safety sometimes. And I have a problem with that. I have a problem. I'd rather have to face something that could possibly happen that's dangerous. I'd rather have to face that than give up my freedom. Because if you give up that freedom to the government, they abuse it. Just like these
Tracy
cops out here right now.
Tracy, I'd be in another room. I was in another room looking for something, a book. And Tracy muting my mic. I ain't even nowhere near the phone. I had my mic muted myself when I'm not talking. But you hear that doop, 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 doop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get done talking to her, I mute my mic, then I go in the other room looking for a book, and I hear, boop, she don't mute me, and I'm not nowhere near the phone. And she'll mute you if she can't debate you.
Yeah, like, people come, like, when you about to get at her, she mutes you. Yeah, she'll say something, and then you be like, no, Tracy, what about this, what about that, that's not true, da-da-da-da-da, this, and she'll just, boop, that's it. and she keep talking, and she'll say something, take her 30 minutes to get her point out. She go on her rant.
Well, yeah,
she just be gone.
Nickname her the Muter. Tracy the Muter, the Windbush.
Jeff bad, too. Jeff forgets it. Jeff used to get me all the time.
Jeff, they don't know they wouldn't have no show if it wasn't for us. Like, nobody else calling in, listening.
You know what? I think our show is a lot more interesting than most talk shows. Because
no, not really.
Let me tell you, when I say most, I said most, not all.
Well, you're right. You said most.
Yeah, like, when I say, and I'm talking about the options that you have on AM radio. I'm not talking about Blog Talk. If you look at the options that you have between Sean Hannity or some of the shows that you have on TV, and if you look at the content of what we discuss on a day-to-day basis and the issues that we see, because you go on Sean Hannity's show and you mention an International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, he plays Twilight Zone music. I see them do it. Oh, Trilateral Commission, he played Twilight Zone like he's crazy. Because he worked for those. Those are his bosses. You can't
they use them shows to see exactly where the population, where the thoughts are. You know, the same thing with CNN. On their page, you can bring up a story, and then at the bottom you can comment. Well, man, I had never in my life seen so much pro-Russian comments on a story as I had, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. Well, they done away with that. They don't allow you to make them comments no more.
That's what I'm saying. They censor the people. They don't want the people.
Then they say that
driven.
Those freedoms.
This country, somebody's in the driver's seat. Somebody driving this country. It's
right. They say you can't do that. Then they want to claim that type of censorship and lack of freedom goes on in China. Well, hell no. It goes on here, too.
The mentality of people towards the cops in this country is at dizzying pace. Most black people in black communities and black municipalities would rein in the powers of the police, they don't even have that choice.
Here's another thing, Alabama. When you start seeing a nation starting to put in place the type of systems that we see going on here with censorship of what you say, then you see this re-going back, and they're grasping for straws. I mean, that's the drowning man grasping for straws. And I'm sorry, the tide is already on change. It's past the center of gravity, and it's falling. It can't stop it. Unless you want to go in and have an outright war with somebody, and I think they're ready for you there. How the hell are you going to kill an idea? They're talking about taking out ISIS no matter how much you talk. Well, hell, did one report the people was only, what, 5,000 at the most?
Yeah. There's no need. We could send a little small group of guys in there and knock them out, beat it. It'd be over.
And like you say, like that politician that was on Tracy's show talking about how treacherous they are and how evil they are. Well, like you've mentioned, have you looked at the book Without Sanctuary?
Yeah.
But they don't want to go back that far in history. Same thing with this Ray Rice. Well, hell, nobody's complaining about these police officers beating these black women.
We can go back for the 4th of July and be proud of that. We just can't be proud of what happened, you know, a couple hundred years after that.
Yeah, nobody is bitching about how these police women, the policemen are beating up these cops. White cops are beating these black women.
I mean, that's just standard operating procedure, though, really, to be honest with you. They never should have been on up on that.
Right.
Yeah.
So with the advent of the Internet, you can counter any damn claim, any daggone view that they put out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the information is out there, right out there in front of your face. So I got to call some people that went to that. They're supposed to be shutting the highway down here today. I ain't going to get involved in that because it's planned. It's staged. I like them when they shut them down. It's about the third time they're going to shut this highway. They shut it down one day, maybe 2 weeks ago. Some young people did. And all they do is have a, and see the way they do it, you don't know what's going to happen because they have a rolling roadblock. They have cars next to each other, and they all of a sudden, they all in each lane come to a stop at the same time.
Block the whole thing.
Right, and the people standing on the side, they come out there and do their demonstration, put their signs up, do whatever they're going to do, about 5-10 minutes, then they get on off to the sides, cars start up, traffic go back to running again.
Yeah, but it take a while for traffic to run once you move. It take a while, man.
And like, can't nobody stop them. Can't nobody, police can't do anything, because hell.
That's guerrilla warfare. They can't
right,
get to them for one. Yeah.
Right, especially if it, you make the stop at the right place. You know, you can't make the stop in front of an on-ramp. You got to make it behind an on-ramp. And that's what they do. They make it in between on-ramps. So the police, if they was coming, they were coming through all that traffic. If they decide to come the other way, head on into the traffic, they just drive on and say, hell, we was stopped. Now here we are. You heading in. You stopping traffic yourself. And if it don't last 5 minutes, they can't respond that fast. Heck, if it just lasts a minute.
Yeah.
So social media and the way it is permit people to get their views out there, their differences, and I think it's a good thing.
Well, I do too. I think the media has gotten to the point now where we're able to really get out here and make a difference and do some things as far as on a small level and it gets start on a grassroots level. But I think that should be the motto of black people. Start small. It should be the motto. Like, you know, without the banks, without all these different, you know, trying to go get money from this person, that just start where you are, start small, and build. I mean, if you do that, and then think generationally. You know, you do those two steps, you can't be stopped. Even if white supremacy and racism kept up doing whatever it is that it's doing, if we just decide ourselves to do certain things and operate under a certain premise, then we can't be stopped. And that is, now, I do believe that more than I believe. I believe in that more than I believe in the existence of white supremacy and racism. I believe if we decide to go and do something, we can do it. I don't think we have to ask for permission. We don't have to wait. We take what we want. We should. That's our culture. That's us anyway. When it comes to sports and athleticism, we take what we want. If we want the lane, I want to go through the lane and dunk on somebody. When I played basketball, I would go through and a guy would get in the way sometime. I would just jump and elbow him in the face, still dunk on. That's how you play. But that's how you play ball. And it's the same way with life, man. You can't, it's almost like you can't have all the red lights turn green before you take off this, you know, leave the house. Sometimes you got to leave and wait for the red light to turn green, and you got to try to go around the obstacles there that you can face, because if not, you're in trouble. If not, you're going to be stuck going back and forth day to day trying to complain about stuff. I mean, when we see opportunity, take it, man. That's just the way I feel. I don't think we should ask either. Take it. I mean, that's just the bottom line. That should be our attitude. Don't listen to nobody telling you something's impossible. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, if we don't do that, bro, we in trouble. We in the trouble.
And I don't think that people think that. I think what happens is that they find that the rules change all of a sudden.
Let me give you an example, Keontae. A guy graduates from high school with a 2.0. Now, let's just say he got a 1.9 like I did, right? Graduates from school. They tell him not to. The counselor literally told me not to go to college. She did. I went anyway. Did okay for myself. Got out. Got my degree. No experience. Never did an internship. Everything that a person wants to do, if you just make up your mind, I really should not be doing IT right now. Because I was told, look, man, you ain't got no experience. The economy's bad. It's 2008, 2009. The economy had just fell apart. Nobody had any money. I didn't have any experience. And I said, you know what, bump it. I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to make sure
that I can get into whatever it is I'm trying to get into. And I did, and here I am right now working. Now, I can lose this job today. I mean, I never fall in love with a job. But I can go get another job in a couple of weeks. Stuff can be done. People can be successful. There's no excuse for mediocrity among black people.
It's not. But see, like the thing is, for instance, in Ferguson, the police and the fire department, the way that we talking about alleviating that is forming that separate agency, like a hiring agency, where applicants come and list themselves with that agency. They become qualified, show their credential, and the drug tests and all that stuff. So they're there.
A lot of them, I'm thinking is with a lot of black, white people, they're going to have qualifications because they come from that economic background. So they're going to have the qualifications.
But here's the point. You got blacks that have qualifications too. But what happens is that the chiefs say we can't find none. So now they're going to be required that if you got openings and you're looking for candidates, until we solve this imbalance, you have to come here. You have to come here and seek your applicant, and we'll send you one, and you'll be on notice that you did so. So the same way they did with Section 5 of the Voters' Rights Act, where if states had to change their voting regulations, voting patterns that would affect, you know, black people, they had to get clearance, pre-clearance through the Department of Justice. Well, that's the same thing needs to be done in these municipalities until this imbalance in the fire department, this imbalance in the police department, public works has changed where they reflect the population demographics that those agencies are serving as near as you possibly can. Hell, they did in the city of St. Louis. Now they got very white firefighter. You hire, you got to hire a black firefighter.
Let me show you what Diva just put on my. I put that Whoopi Goldberg post up and tagged Diva, right? Diva said, can't judge all women in a particular situation for the actions of others. That's all I was trying to say. Now she's saying, in the context of the Ray Rice incident, Whoopi Goldberg can have several seats because I wonder what she would do if her man called her a B or spit on her. After watching this video several times, he either jumped at her, called her a B, or spit on her before she backhanded him before getting on the elevator. After that, so she's saying basically he spit on her and called her a B.
It made her do what she did.
So she hit him, right? Now, if he called her out a name, leave him. It's really that simple.
She should have got on the elevator.
Hold on. After getting on the elevator, he's standing real close to her, all in her face from his movement. He either jumped. Now, first of all, he's almost to the gun camera, so that's a lie. But anyway, he either jumped at her or spit on her again. So now he done spit on her twice. She got very good because that's a real grainy picture. So for her to know that, she's very good. Then he swung in. Look. I'm not talking about what happened with that. I'm talking about what Whoopi Goldberg was saying about a woman hitting a man. That's the thing with Diva. She goes off in motion. Like, that whole a woman should never hit a man thing, I agree with it. But women can't walk around punching boys in the face, man, thinking that they're going to get away with it every time. You can't just do that. I've seen chicks hard at a dude. Dude, I know you can knock a dude out if you hit him in his jaw. It don't take a lot.
Well, a person shouldn't walk up and hit nobody unintentionally. I mean, for no reason. But if a woman hit a man got a right to hit him back. Hit her back.
If a woman hit another woman, does that woman
have a right to hit her back?
That's the rules I raise my child on. Look, if you hit a guy, he got the right to hit you back. Now, true enough, I don't want no guy beating on you. But if that guy hits you back and you hit him, then before I can get there and deal with him, you just don't even put your hands on nobody. Girl, male or female.
If Ray Rice was carrying a concealed carry, he had a right to shoot her for what she done to him.
I mean, but see, the thing, Diva, say, well, she's too, you know, she's way stronger. he's way stronger than her, and it's nothing. It's not. I'm like,
I couldn't find
her.
I couldn't find you. I couldn't find your Facebook page.
I sent you a friend request.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I sent you a friend request.
When you sent it?
That day we was on the phone.
Yeah, I didn't see no friend request.
You told me the name first, unless it's somebody else that got that same name.
Well, my name is Bianchi Bancole, B-A-N-K-O-L-E. On
yeah,
Facebook.
That's what it was. That's what it was. It's exactly what it was. Let me see. P-I-A-N-K-I?
Yeah, space B-A-N-K-O-L-E.
Yeah, there it is again.
Push.
I sent you a friend request again. Lives in St. Louis.
Yeah, you did. My phone was ringing.
None of your damn business. High. Got all that.
What's your Facebook page?
Bill Green. I just sent you a friend request.
B-I-L-L-G-R-E-E-N.
Man,
there's a whole bunch of
last name.
Bill Green. Bill William Donnell Green?
No, nah, man. Bill D. Laney Green. It ain't going to say the
What's your icon? What's your icon?
There's a picture of me up there with some boxing gloves.
I don't see nobody on here with no boxing gloves. B-I-L-L-G-R-E-E-N.
You're talking about the U.S. doing nothing to help Nigeria. That's your post?
I said what?
The U.S. is doing nothing to help Nigeria.
Well, I'll have to look for it again.
Yeah, I think I just sent you a friend request.
Let me look on my phone. The phone works faster. That's my grandson. Okay, I'm going to study if it rains now. We had a game tonight, and it's raining like hell here. All right, I got the request. All right.
I mean, they got this.
I seen it on my phone. I confirmed it. Man, I can't stay on this damn Facebook too long. There it is right there. Canaan International.
Yeah, that's me. I don't tell folks where I work at. I don't do that.
Well, where in the hell is Diva?
She Leticia Underwood. Under that post, that video I posted with, on Tracy, I tagged Tracy, that video right there. Just emotional
there she
for
is.
No reason. For no good reason.
Sarcoma.
Emotion. She don't think. That's the bottom line. No, she get mad when
yeah,
I say that, but that's the truth.
Damn, I didn't think that was Diva.
Yeah, that's her.
I thought she would have been a Miss Daisy looking woman. I guess this is her father standing behind her.
I don't know. I ain't really been on no stuff.
Well, another day. 11:48. About time for me to go out and see what's going on in the world. I got to go to school and see.
All right, well, let me
talk
to you. All right.
All right, I'll see you later.
All right.